Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are and why we are here and what we may become if you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. The foundations of religion and science were used to restore knowledge lost for over 6,000 years in our first book. The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 2, called 2012 and the Harvest of the End Times, brings us vital knowledge for the race of mankind. Have the Watchers returned? What did the Aztecs mean by their ancient predictions for the year 2012? Why is Earth changing so rapidly now before our very eyes? Who were the shining ones who lived on the earth and worked with mankind as they recovered from cataclysms? Who are we? Where did we come from? If you could find a book that answers just one of these questions, you'd buy it. Now there are two in a series that is sweeping the world with its message. Go to arcofmillionsofyears.com and get your autographed copy today. Now, also available in full audio version. Since ancient times, Egypt has expressed an irresistible spiritual magnetism on the hearts of millions of people. Experience 14 magic days in Egypt, exploring Cairo, the pyramids of Giza, and the temple of Dendera and Abydos with Maureen St. Germain. You cannot see it on your own as well as you can with this group. Click on the 14 Magic Days banner at X Squared Radio and join us in Egypt from October 6th through the 20th. Tonight with us, we're coming to you live from Louisville, Kentucky. The solar wind tonight is a brisk 526 kilometers per second, and there are no sunspots at this time. All is quiet on the solar front. Going where no man has gone before, a diving robot has retrieved samples and images of bizarre creatures from deep off the coasts of Nova Scotia and Newfoundland. Marine scientists in Dartmouth sent the robot into the Sable Gully Marine Protected Area and several other regions where it registered photos of an octopus with ears that makes it resemble Dumbo the elephant and other equally strange animals. Everything there was new to us, said Ellen Kinchington, a research scientist with the Bedford Institute of Oceanography in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, and chief scientist on the 21-day expedition. During July, a boatload of marine scientists on the Canadian Coast Guard ship Hudson marveled at the otherworldly animals their diving robots spotted and brought back from the ocean floor 2.5 kilometers beneath them. Targeting next summer, we hope to bring you pictures of even more bizarre life forms from a part of this planet never seen before. The Inner Earth Expedition is taking great leaps forward this week. We'll let you know some more details. If you want to hear the story of preparation and inspiration, you need to get to Mount Shasta this coming weekend. Sign up for 4 days of incredible speakers from around the paranormal world, including David Icke. He will be introducing his new book, so you don't want to miss it. If you're within driving distance, get to Siskiyou College in Weed, California on Thursday through Sunday. Just go to ShalimarProductions.com, click on that link at x2-radio.com, and you can get all of the details how to sign up. Also, please remember to make your way to the San Francisco Bay Area UFO Conference, or Expo, I'm sorry, on August 25th and 26th. This is the one UFO conference you must attend this year. If you're within driving distance of there, make it down there, or fly in there. It's worth it. Let me tell you, this is going to be the granddaddy. I'll be there. George Nouri will be there. James Gilliland will be there. You're going to have a great time. Also in the news, a mechanical arm dropped a specially made rust-proof titanium flag onto the Arctic seabed at a depth of 4,261 meters.
You will be able to hear me. I apologize. No one else can hear me, but you can. We probably should take out the area to kill you.
All right.
I'm getting a little feedback. You might want to try and snow.
All right, we're going to go off this digital line, and we're going to go on to an analog line because this is our first time on late night, new equipment, and we'll be right back in about 40 seconds. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Christoph Goes on BBS Radio, where you can check tracks from my new album, Turning Inside, because if it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
She's gone past the point of feeling anything at all. Sometimes she's sure she's crazy. Sometimes she feels like maybe the only way to survive is to stay angry. And that works fine most of the time.
Back on X Squared Radio. Don't you love internet radio? Is so much fun because you have so many technical hurdles to overcome to come to you live around the globe that you don't face on a normal broadcast program. But we overcome them here at BBS Radio, and you get to experience them with us. So that's cool. By the way, I want to let you know the phone lines will be open all night, toll free anywhere in the United States. 877-876-5227. Toll free anywhere in Canada, 888-810-8322. And anywhere else, on planet, off planet, if you can get to a cell phone tower, you can get to us, 530-876-3222. We want to know how you like our new late night format. We have just moved from the 6 p.m. Eastern Time slot to the 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time slot. We think that it'll fit your lifestyle a little bit better, and more of you will get to listen live. Also in the news, a mechanical arm dropped a specially made rust-proof titanium flag onto the Arctic seabed at a depth of 4,261 meters the Guitar Toss News Agency quoted expedition officials as saying, Russia wants to extend right up to the North Pole, territory it controls in the Arctic. Believed to hold vast reserves of untapped oil and natural gas, Russia is claiming a larger slice, extending as far as the pole because, Moscow says, the Arctic seabed and Siberia are linked by one continental shelf. Makes perfect sense to me. Hey, last week we had Michael Cremo on the program. If you subscribe to the X Squared Radio Archives right away and listen to that program, you'll get to hear it as well. It's only $20 a year. It's probably the best deal in radio, and you get a great stereo sound. We cut out most of the commercials, so you can just breeze right through it. Just go to x2-radio.com and sign up today. In our first hour tonight, we have a special guest. Let me announce who's going to be on in the second hour. Actually, second and third hours is going to be Robert Plar. He has developed a new housing system. Sustainable freedom is his theme. And trust me, if you'll go in advance to Plar, PLARR.com, and look at the pictures of this home, it'll just take your breath away how beautiful it is. And we'll cover that the second and third hours. But in our first hour, we have a very special guest. Last year, as you might know, somewhat of a mystery came up in the expedition exploits. A two-man team took off from Utah, headed for the South Pole. Their mission was to discover if there was an opening into the Earth at the South Pole. Now, we actually thought if they left without fanfare as a small team, they might make it. We didn't hear anything from them for weeks. No one knew they made it or not. Then, as mysteriously as they left, they showed back up. You're going to hear their story from our guest who was part of this two-man team. His name, for protection's sake, is Jason X. Please welcome with me from an undisclosed location, Jason X. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesome. A few weeks ago, I was speaking at Siskiyou College in Weed, California, which is just north of Mount Shasta. And as luck would have it, I ran into Jason X, and we had lunch together. And I was fascinated by his story. It was the first time that I had heard it and was so intrigued by it that I thought we would bring him on the program tonight and let him tell you his story. Jason, first tell us how you became involved with the Inner Earth Expedition team originally.
All right. I actually hadn't signed up with the team. I had wanted to but didn't have the funds. So it was about, I would say, roughly 2 years ago, and a friend notified me of Rodney Clough's expedition with Steve Curry. And so I had heard of the Hollow Earth several years prior. I'd read about Admiral Byrd. And so at the time, I really didn't have a context for what I had read, so I wasn't sure what to make of it. But when I heard more about Rodney Clough and Steve Curry's expedition, I just knew that it was something I was looking for, and it started to just really make sense. So I kind of set out on a personal journey of my own to try to find out as much as I could, and I spend sometimes 12 to 18 hours a day just researching and just really scouring the web using all the tools and methods I was aware of to find information regarding anything and everything that would have any type of connection whatsoever regarding the Hollow Earth, the Hollow Earth theory, and that's what really, got me out there. And I contacted Rodney Clough, I contacted Steve Curry, and, spoke with them about things, and that's kind of what got me started on all of this.
Now, as you did your research, and there's a formidable amount of it on the web, and also in libraries, and there are even movies and documentaries that you can watch. Did you satisfy your curiosity, or did you find that there was something lacking, that maybe an expedition might be called for to find the answers?
Well, the thing, I was a little bit surprised to see that there really wasn't a lot of, say, photographic evidence of that a lot of the Hollow Earth researchers had come upon. And So that was my personal mission I set for myself, was to find what I would consider evidence of this. And so I actually did find what I consider to be evidence, substantial evidence. I don't know if you're aware of the, I know you are. I showed you when we were at Siskiyou College, but some of the footage of the Aurora Australis coming out of the southern opening in Antarctica, it's straight off of NASA servers, but they basically show the hole in Antarctica and the Aurora Australis streaming straight out of it. When I found this, you know, I found it and I didn't realize I had found it, and then 2 months later I was going back through my bookmarks, and when I actually watched it, and I was just shocked. I sat there for a while not really knowing what to think, so I contacted Rodney, and we kind of together we spread it across the Hollow Earth community, and it became kind of it just swept through, and everyone was really excited about it because it was the most recent or up-to-date photographic or video evidence that people had seen. And so that really fueled my desire to go on after that and to maybe even attempt some type of voyage to either the North or Southern Pole to look at it for myself.
Well, now I know about the same time, I guess it was late 2004, when I heard about the expedition and I started communicating with Rodney that I wanted a space as well. But, as you know, most scientists pick crumbs with the sparrows. That fee to get on the boat was a little bit daunting, so I thought it would take me some time to raise it. Then they postponed it to 2005 and then later to 2006 because it was difficult for most people to come up with that payment to get a seat on that expedition. But I was going to do it. Even if I had to take a second mortgage out on my house, I thought that it would be worth it to go and to perform scientific experiments from a place no one had been before. So I, like you, felt that same desire. But what happened in the summer of 2006? Very mysteriously, something happened to the leadership of the expedition. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I actually wasn't intimately involved with the leadership, and I found out about most of this after the fact. My friend who had signed up to be an expedition member, it's interesting because I didn't really realize I knew him until I showed up at his doorstep. We had been, Rodney Clough had gotten us in touch via email, and I showed up at his doorstep and we both realized we knew each other from years prior. I'd gone to school with his wife, and it just was one of those, coincidences or synchronicities, if you will, that, we realized that there's more of a pattern out there than a lot of us, will recognize and meet, sometimes. But, so basically, he filled me in on all the details, but evidently what happened, it had been postponed a year, 2 years, and then when they looked like they were about ready to go, Steve Curry, who, curiously enough, he had won a regional handball tournament just months prior, but all of a sudden he became very ill, and he contacted my friend and said he was very ill, and my friend really didn't, he lives not far from him, he didn't really know what to make of it, but he found out just 2 months later he was dead. Steve Curry had died of brain cancer, and to my knowledge, he had approximately 6 brain tumors. And so that kind of sent a shock through the community and through all those who had, especially those that had signed up for the expedition. And, it's still open to personal interpretation what really happened, but that kind of put it back. I'm sure yourself, you were involved as well, that put everyone back and wondering what's going to happen now. So,
well, I know, I contacted the board when I got back from Washington State in August, because I had heard that Stephen Curry had just very recently died, and very unexpectedly. I mean, he was a healthy man in his early 50s. Obviously athletic. He was a world explorer, very accomplished expedition leader. All of a sudden, bam, he's gone. And, they needed another expedition leader, and I agreed to serve. And it has been the challenge of a lifetime. But it's also been, as you say, full of these synchronicities, just one thing after another, just falling into place as though this was pre-planned thousands of years ago, and now the pieces are just kind of falling into place. Well, so that being said, with not a little bit of frustration from the team, we needed some more information. So you and one of your teammates take off for the South Pole. Now, of course, when I heard about your plan, I told Rodney, hey, this just might work. You guys were a small enough team. You might just get in where larger teams might not. What was your first challenge when you took off?
Well, it's just kind of interesting. Prior to actually attempting to go down, we went to New Zealand, but prior to going there, we had been in Eastern Europe, and we went to Mount Ararat in Turkey. That's the area where Gilgamesh had made his epic journey. And so we had made, prior to that, we had made other attempts to just go out and explore and see what we could find. But we, you know, we were both single, and I had spoken to Rodney and told him, you know, for my friend and I, we were both very, you know, we're pretty adventurous, and we really aren't as afraid as a lot of people might be for, you know, dangers along the way, things like that. We really kind of put ourselves out there and just allow fate, as you would have it, just kind of take over and kind of direct us. And so our desires have been for a while now to actually, you know, locate or enter one of these openings. And so we decided we'd go to New Zealand. I had a friend there that had access to gear for Antarctic polar expeditions that said we could use this. So we went down to New Zealand thinking that we could, you know, make our way down there. And as we were just kind of, we didn't make a lot of formal preparations going down. That was just our intent, was to get down there with the hopes of making it down to, you know, Antarctica.
So when you arrived in New Zealand and you hook up with your friend, did he have the gear? I mean, was it going to be possible to get off that continent and on to Antarctica?
Yeah, and that's the funny thing. We never even made it to the South Island. For those that know New Zealand, you've got the North Island and the South Island. We really didn't even make it down to the South Island, which is necessary. A lot of the flights come from the South Island down to Antarctica. I think one of the government contractors, they stage a lot of the flights out of there to go down to Antarctica. But yeah, we actually never even made it down that far. Like I say, we kind of just leave things up to the divine or universal to kind of direct our path. But it wasn't, I guess you could say, meant to be. And when I ran into you, I guess a lot of fanfare had been raised, I guess, by Rodney and, you know, people wondering what had happened. And my friend and I both, we like to stay off the radar because, as you had said, you know, when you announce your plans, you know, there are always things that get in your way and other people. So it's always best, in my opinion, as a smaller group to just kind of do your thing without, you know, letting other people know. So,
and then you show up with the evidence. Now, in doing all of this research, and we'll get back to how far you actually got, and I know you're following your intuition, sort of like, you know, the Celestine prophecy. You're just kind of going off of the next door that opens and, do you know this guy and can you give us a ride kind of thing. But you put together a blog site, did you not? And you just make all this information that you've gathered available for everyone. Can you tell us the address of that?
Yeah, the blog, it's holoplanet.blogspot.com. And a lot of, when I first got started, I kind of springboarded off of a lot of Rodney Clough's research. And I have to, you know, give him credit for, you know, the 25-plus years or so of research he's done, and it really fueled my desire and my imagination and got me going from there. And what I did, I spent a lot of time looking for actual scientific, what I consider to be scientific proof, things that, because there's a lot of metaphysical things associated with the hollow earth, and for some people out there, that's very difficult to grasp or to swallow, so to speak. So I really focused a lot. I have a science background, and I focused a lot on what I could find out there that people could consider to be scientific proof from legitimate sources, and I say that in quotes, you know. But so that's why some of the first things I did, I would just go out there and do searches for polar images of planets. And one of the most interesting, besides the Aurora Australis video, one of the most interesting things I came across was the image, and I believe I showed you, it's an infrared image of Venus, and it's the north pole of Venus, and it shows it gets cooler as you get to the pole, but then right at the pole there's this bright, almost white beacon directly at the pole. And that was just after 5 minutes of searching, one of my very first searches. And so with that kind of result, it really just, I mean, I was convinced at that point that there was more than ample evidence, and a lot has come out since. You see things about the polar storm on Saturn, that big, huge depression in the pole of Saturn, among other things. And it just keeps coming out more and more. So, yeah, there's quite a bit of stuff out there. And if there's an individual that wishes to seek and look, there's more than ample evidence, in my opinion, that shows that it's actually a substantial theory, the hollow Earth theory. So,
well, one of the things that fascinates me as a scientist, and you're right, there is a lot of metaphysical mysticism and legend and even religion that goes with the Earth, you know, possibly being hollow. Not to mention the fact, or at least the observation, that it may be other dimensional, in fact,
mm-hmm.
that we may not be talking about a Arne Saknussemm, you know, cave that you go down through for days and days and months and finally reach an inner sea where there are, you know, prehistoric creatures and the cave people. It may be other dimensional access that you have to get in there. And so when you're putting together an expedition or you're making plans to go, there are more than just the physical plans. What equipment am I going to take with me? What film? How am I going to do digital? Am I going to do infrared? What samples am I going to take? How am I going to prove to the world that the Earth is hollow? Besides that, there are the personal preparations, because not many people get to make an expedition like this. There are many, many obstacles, not the least of which is the cost. Putting together an expedition like this is many, many millions of dollars, and that's why you haven't seen the Discovery Channel or the Science Channel make a venture like this, because it's a major, major risk to go and just take measurements. I'd like to know, as you thought about, you know, getting to the South Island, how did you get stopped? I mean, did you just things just didn't work out and you didn't get to your friend's place? You just couldn't find the money or couldn't find a ride? Or did you find that there were actually coincidences that stood in your way?
Yeah, that's a good question. I throughout my life, I've always tried to seek a higher understanding, try to operate within that flow of synchronicity. Because as you've said already, you know, you can plan up to a certain point, but oftentimes the universe or the universal has its own plan. And if you can plan, so to speak, plan that out of your picture. So we left things open, but I've been in situations before where it's been very clear that you're being moved by some other force into a different direction. So I recognized this as I was down there in New Zealand. We were in Auckland for a week, and we were pretty, I don't want to use the word forcibly, but we were pretty much moved out of that area. I don't want to get too much into it. It had to do with, you know, religion and things like that, but I don't want to throw a negative light on anyone there involved, but we were pretty much, you know, we had to move out of Auckland and move down a little bit further south and wait for my friend that was coming from Hawaii, and we stayed there for about a couple weeks. At that point, my friend left back home, and I stuck there for a little while, and then I went down to Wellington, and it was the same thing. After a week, it was just very clear that I was being moved out of there, and there wasn't, you know, doors were shutting. You know, everyone's had the experience where doors of opportunity open. Well, when doors of opportunity shut, it's a pretty clear signal to me. I mean, like I said, I've been in those situations before, and it was very obvious to me that I was, you know, that wasn't the way I was supposed to go. So I pretty quickly, I went back to Hawaii. for about a week. I was going to try to get some work there, and then I just ended up coming back to the States, and that's where I've been here. But coming back to where I'm at now has actually opened up a number of doors where, you know, I didn't have the opportunities, say, in New Zealand. So what I've basically come down to from my own personal journey, I haven't given up the hope or desire to visit the Hollow Earth or find out more about it. But as you mentioned, there's a lot, there's more than just the technological sometimes we have to think about. And, you know, if you believe that the Hollow Earth or even the civilizations within the crust of the Earth are much more advanced, not only technologically but spiritually, they definitely have control over who enters and who can come in and leave. And a lot of it, what I've come across, it's a little bit of a new age or metaphysical movement, but it has a lot to do with your own personal spiritual preparation. And so that's kind of the point on that now, trying to kind of purify or cleanse the inner self. I've recently become vegetarian to try to accelerate that process. But, you know, it's been kind of an inner journey, whereas, you know, we focus a lot of times or externalize the journey. But I think once we can get there inside, the inner journey within ourselves, then that journey to the inner earth, so to speak, will be a lot more, it'll happen much more readily, and we may even be successful in that. So,
well, yeah, I know exactly where you're coming from. You relayed one story to me as you were following your intuition. You and your friend ended up on a train. And I was going to ask you, did you have anything really strange happen that helped you make sometimes impossible connections?
Oh, for sure. And that was our journey several months prior to going to New Zealand. We flew into the Czech Republic, and I had a friend in Bulgaria that I met online. I had never met her before, and I told her that we were going to head down there. And she's a little bit incredulous that we were actually coming.
She's sure you're coming from the States.
Yeah, exactly.
Typical American boy.
Right. And I told her, I'm like, we're on our way, you know. And so we went through through Hungary, Budapest, and then we were coming down through Serbia. Now, as we got into Beograd, there is a, you know, Serbia, it's a great place. It's a little bit run down according to our standards, but the train was dark. We got on train, and we really... This was Saturday night, and I wanted to meet my friend. She's a member of a church group on the following day, on Sunday. And, you know, we just put ourselves out there, and every time we were never at any point were we ever disappointed. I mean, we were always taken care of, and it was a pretty awesome experience. But I'll go ahead and relate the experience you asked about. So we get on the train, and there were, like, the whole cart was empty. So this guy comes in, sits down in our little cabin, to, you know, even though there are others next to it that are free, and it's dark, and he lights up a cigarette, and all you can see, it's like one of those, you know, those spy movies. All you see is his little, the end of his cigarette glowing in the dark, and he finally starts talking, and he's talking to me in Serbian. I speak Russian, and they're both Slavic languages, so we communicated fairly well. But he... you know, he's asking me where we're from, and we say, well, we're from America. And so he says, well, he's like, you know, he mentioned he's a member of this church group, and we're like, well, we are too. And
now that's strange.
Yeah, he was a bit incredulous. You know, he didn't believe us, and we're like, no, look, you know, so we showed him, you know, some stuff we had with this, you know. And so after that, it's just, you know, we started talking, and turns out he's one of the only two members of, you know, our same church in that region. In southern Serbia.
Oh, wow.
And he actually was a train operator, and he had the address of the place that we were supposed to go to. And my friend, it's funny, he's always getting hungry and tired. You know, I can sleep anywhere and on trains or you name it, and I don't get hungry as much. So, but he's always getting hungry and tired, and we had rushed to get onto the train at Belgrade, hadn't had a chance to get anything to eat, and so... He had bread and meat, and so he fed us, and he gave us the exact address. And, you know, down the way there were some Australians, and passport control had really been hassling them for a while, for 30 minutes or so, about their passports. Well, they stuck their head in our cart and tried to hassle us. He just said something to them, and they just took off, went on their way. So, you know, it was just a real, I guess you could say, fortuitous thing for us, but we got off the train Sunday morning and went right to the address he gave us and met up with, you know, our friend that she didn't even know we were coming, and the look on her face was priceless. But yeah, it was just you know, incident after incident, you know, just one after the other like that. You know, we had one in Budapest.
Were you delivered from any situations that might have been life-threatening if Providence hadn't stepped in?
Oh, you know, actually, maybe not from my life, but my friend, he, as we were getting into, we were leaving Istanbul, and it's kind of funny, he, before leaving the States, he told me, he's like, whatever you do, don't eat the chicken. So I'm like, okay. And he was already in a little bit of a weakened state from, you know, a little bit of an asthma attack coming out of Bulgaria, but coming out of Istanbul on the bus, he, the first rest stop, I look across at his dish that he had picked up at the, and it's chicken, and I'm like, what's going on, man? And he just shrugged his shoulders, and I had specifically skipped over the chicken. So we got on the bus again, and within 15 minutes, he was starting to get sick, and for the next 3 days, he was pretty sick. Like, I've never seen him this sick in my life. I mean, people have died from that kind of stuff, but he, I didn't realize until later, but we were in the internet cafe. We're in the middle of Turkey at this point, and some guy just walks up to us, some Kurd, and he's like, hey, you guys want to come to my house for lunch? We're like, sure, why not, you know? And we end up going over, and just very salt of the earth people, and it's been my experience in other countries. A lot of times people they'll give you the shirt off their back, and that's how these guys were. They fed us, and come to find out, his brother had been on dialysis most of his life, and he just handed my friend antibiotics, and I didn't realize, but my friend had been praying for some antibiotics just so he could feel a little bit better. And then the next day, his cousin, the Kurdish guy's cousin, actually owns a medical supply company, and gave him a whole box of antibiotics. And it's just, you know, it's just one thing after the other. And this guy, this Kurdish guy from the middle of Turkey, he's a good friend still to this day. He'll call us in the middle of the night, just seeing if we're okay, if we need anything. And, you know, if anything, we should be offering him help, you know, but that's just the kind of guy he is. It's just situations like that, you know.
Hmm.
But,
Well, did you get lost? You say you met up with your friend in Bulgaria, and she was a little, at first she was incredulous that you were coming, and then when you showed up, she said, oh, get out of town, here you are. So what did you do while you were in Bulgaria?
In Bulgaria, I've lived in Russia before, and Bulgaria's a little bit of the same, you know, it's an Eastern Bloc country. Her family owns apartments, and so we stayed in an apartment, you know, paid her utilities, but they wanted us to stay for months. I mean, she actually cried when we left after a week and a half, but we just stayed. We hung out with her and some of her friends and, you know, just explored. They have a mountain right next to Sofia, the capital of Bulgaria, Mount Vitisha, and we went up to the top of the mountain there and just kind of explored around. We weren't in a mood or a mindset to just stay put in one area. You know, we were there to explore and travel, so we just kept going. We went from there to the Black Sea and stayed there for a day or two, and then went straight from there down to Istanbul. From Istanbul, most of the tourists stick on the western side of Turkey, where, you know, most of the attractions are. But we headed, you know, headlong into the middle of Turkey to Mount Nimrod, and went to the top of that mountain, where they have these massive stone heads that, you know, it's crazy. Like I said, I could talk for hours about some of the things we saw, but, and then we went from there all the way to Mount Ararat on the eastern end of Turkey, and that's when things really got crazy. I mean, that's a pretty remote area, and people have lived the same way for hundreds of years in their little huts, and that was quite an experience. We were going to hike Ararat, but we did not. You know, they actually, you can hike it with permits, but the permits cost like around $400 to $500, and we weren't in the mindset to, you know, we just kind of wanted to do our own thing, not be on a very strict tour of the mountain, you know. So,
well, where did you get the training to do this? Or are you just a very lucky traveler, just have backpack will travel, or did you have some experience doing this?
Well, I've lived all over the world. I mean, I've lived in Germany for several years growing up, and, you know, lived in Russia for a couple of years. I guess I'm not real close. A lot of American citizens specifically, they view anything outside the United States proper as very dangerous. But on the other hand, I see it as a relatively safe place. There are pockets, areas you don't want to go to. But for the most part, the world is not so much, it's not really that scary of a place. And so my friend and I both really don't have that much fear, if any, going out. And it's a real easygoing process for us. I mean, there was really no trepidation at all. A lot of the travelers we met, for instance, we met this guy in the middle of Turkey. He's a Dutch guy, and he's been traveling for 3 years straight now. And he went from there, after we met him, he went into Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan. And, I mean, this guy really has no fear. But, I wouldn't recommend that for the casual traveler.
Yeah, the average Westerner with a U.S. passport would not want to venture into any of the, Pakistan.
Right.
I don't know, Pakistan's probably pretty safe. I've got a Pakistani that works with me, and he's all the time telling me, Brooks, go back with me, my brother owns this in Pakistan. It's probably a pretty enterprising place, but you get off into Iran and Iraq. I mean, now don't get me wrong, I would love to go through the museums of Iraq. That would be the treat of a lifetime, even though most of them have been looted. It would still be a real treat. But as an American, I don't know.
Yeah, and, Ararat's about 30 miles from the Iranian border, and even the Turkish people there, as we were leaving Ararat, they would see we're Americans, and they would draw their finger across their throat saying, don't cross the border.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was a little bit, ominous, but, we always approach everything with good humor, and both of us, my friend and I both, we're really not afraid of, from a religious or spiritual standpoint, a lot of people have a lot of fear of death. To me, it's a transition, and so...
Yes.
When it's your time to go, it's your time to go. So we don't, like I said, we don't approach a lot of this with trepidation and fear. And being that we're both single, we don't fear for, our families or, people we need to support. And so there was just, we just laughed it off. And, if God wanted us to end up in some Turkish prison, I guess that's where we're supposed to be, But not that I'm not saying I want to go there. But, luckily, knock on wood, we're back home safe, so... But, it's like you're saying, there are places you can go, like Pakistan, Afghanistan. You want to be careful. There are certainly areas you do not want to end up in, because if you do, you most likely will end up losing your head, so to speak. I mean, there are tourists, Western tourists that have gone there, and they've ended up in a lot of trouble. But Lonely Planet, things like that, if you look on certain sites, they'll pretty much give you a good idea of where you don't want to go. So, but we weren't that adventurous. We just, Turkey, in my opinion, is a pretty safe place. So.
Well, now that you're part, officially, of the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition targeted for next summer aboard the Russian nuclear-powered icebreaker Yamal, what special thing would you like to accomplish on this mission?
Well, on a personal level, I've always been very interested in the polar regions of the world. That was one of the reasons why I just really wanted to go to Antarctica. I mean, it's, like Admiral Byrd said, he called it the center of the great unknown, something to that effect, and it really is. I mean, it's just a rugged region of the world, and it's one of the final frontiers, so to speak, on our own planet. And, me personally, having, I find it just to be a great opportunity and great honor to be able to go and participate in this whole scientific expedition as well as the spiritual journey to maybe achieve some of the things that other people have only dreamed about aboard a Russian nuclear icebreaker. And just looking at the pictures of the Yamal, and it brings back a flood of memories of Russia. And so for me, it is personal, it's close to my heart. So it's definitely something that I've been excited about, and I'm very excited about now to have the opportunity to participate in that.
Well, we're glad to have you on the team. I don't know how many other people speak Russian.
But there is a 150-man Russian crew that runs the Yamal. You know, it's 450 feet long, and it's 23,000 tons, and I guess it takes a lot of people to run a nuclear-powered ship. But they only make four trips a year, and the plan is to charter one of those ships and take it slightly off course to a position previously determined by the great historian Rodney Clough and also James Sill, two very, very fine polar historians. And we're going to need somebody that can speak Russian and has a good sense of humor and of course, does not live in fear.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, I've had so many people write and tell me, be careful. In your exploits out there behind the lines, do you sense there are any powers building in opposition to our upcoming expedition? Is there anyone out there that doesn't want us to go?
Oh, well, you know, I think that you can't research the Hollow Earth and not be aware of the fact that, you know, a lot of people call them conspiracy theories, but you can't not come in contact with, you know, the fact that, well, if the Earth is hollow, why don't we know about it? And one of the only obvious explanations would be, well, you know, the powers that be don't find it within their framework to allow us to know about it, because for whatever reason it would undermine their position of authority or even control. And so I would say definitely, there's definitely certain segments certain segments of control mechanisms or governments or what have you that would prefer for people not to even ask the questions that you yourself are asking as the expedition leader or any other person as an expedition member or those that are just waiting anxiously to hear the results. But for sure, there are definitely groups that would prefer not for this not to take place. And again, not and to allude to, you know, Steve Curry, I mean, there's some that feel that, you know, his passing was not a natural one, and so which opens up a whole can of worms. But but as you said, as you mentioned, and I really like what you said, that it's important not to have that fear, because by seeing that fear, that's how they establish their control. And so you really have to free your heart of the fear, and you stay, you know, in your own heart, in your own life, try to, you know, radiate the light and the love and the joy. And that really is a great guard or protection in your own life from that fear. And so, and personally, I don't feel that you would be accepted inside the inner earth if you still had that fear. And so that's, on a personal level, that's definitely something you can do to prepare. So, definitely.
Well, you know, when I was a young boy, and then later when I joined the Air Force, I had it reiterated. I had heard that he who controls the skies controls the world, and nowadays it's he who controls outer space controls the world. But the advent of there being a possibility that intelligent civilization might be organized inside the crust, one has to think, if you control the core, do you control the world? And maybe there is something to the fact that surface governments might not want competition from other surface groups that might make friends or might befriend or bring forth the inner civilization. But one doesn't need to do very much research before you discover that Earth has gone through several civilization-ending cataclysms and is reported, or at least predicted by the Mayans and the Egyptians, to say the least, that we're getting ready to head for another cataclysm, and that somehow the civilization of man survives these cataclysms, even though there is evidence that tidal waves in excess of 1,300 meters high, traveling at several hundred miles an hour, have swept the planet. Somehow, civilization survives. And it is reported in not a few legends that it has done so by finding refuge inside the planet. And then you add to that the almost universal understanding, we don't even call it a belief anymore, an understanding that there are other races from other planets that are in off-world craft by the thousands, maybe by the hundreds of thousands, here on this planet. Where do they go? Where do they park? Where do they live? Where do they stay? And we've had not a few people come on this program and tell us that they have seen large craft coming up out of bodies of water, heading out into space from oceans and from large lakes. If there was a spot on the planet that has fewer traffic than the polar regions, I don't know about it. I would think that the probability would be very high of running into other occupants of planet Earth if we go to this area. So maybe the conspiracies are fairly well-founded, that the powers that be, the people that actually control everybody's belief of how the world is made and who runs it, they don't want that, upstaged by a global introduction to some other civilization that has something else in mind.
Yeah, you know, you make some very good points, and I agree 100% with that. And a lot of people would ask, well, if they're so technologically advanced, why don't they just come out and, you know, get rid of the power structures that be? But, you know, the people in, or the inhabitants, if you will, of the inner Earth, they're very respectful of agency and of free will, and they're leaving it up to us. If anyone's seen Star Trek, I'm sure many of us have, the Prime Directive, you know, you don't interfere in a lower-level civilization that's still evolving until they get to the point where they've shown responsibility and maturity to interact. And so that's kind of, I feel that's kind of how they see us. They do see us as their brothers, their surface-dwelling brothers and sisters, but they're going to allow us to evolve until we show and we can prove that we're of the state of being or state of the mindset to actually interact with them on a peaceable level. I do feel, though, that they do draw the line in certain areas. You know, they will not allow us to annihilate this planet because it's their home as much as it is ours. And so, but yeah, and I do feel that the powers that be that know about the inner civilizations, they know that they don't control them, and that causes them a certain amount of trepidation or fear of their own. And so that's why, you know, they exert control mechanisms through fear on us, but they are also victims of their own control mechanisms. So with that understanding, and you can, I mean, not to draw, you know, to draw an analogy from Star Wars, you know, the light versus the dark, but, you know, the light, in my opinion, is more powerful. And so if you stand in your own personal light and group with others of that same mentality, you afford yourself and others a certain amount of protection, and you know, all those things, they will pass away, and as you said, the 2012, the ascension, at some point our whole planet will ascend into a higher state of being, and those that the dark side or the dark workers, they have a choice. They can leave this realm, or they can choose to serve the light, basically. And there will come a point in time, in my opinion, where, you know, the surface as well as the interior, we will know about each other and we will work together. So, and that's my hope.
Isn't there a prophecy somewhere in Holy Writ that says in the last days tribes will come on a highway of ice out of the north and reunite with the tribes that are on the surface of the earth?
Yeah, there is, in fact, and there's a real good book called Through the Eyes of a Traveler by John Terry and Bonnie Adams. They do this mind travel, and they actually, a lot of Hollow Earthers believe that the ten lost tribes, live inside the core, but they actually said in their mind travel that they live beneath northern Canada in subterranean caverns. And they have some really interesting things to say about that. For a future guest, I would suggest John Terry to talk to you more about that. He has some real interesting experiences with that. But, and definitely, I mean, there are so many different inhabitants of our planet. You know, speaking of the interior as the hollow, but there are just so many different layers in the crust itself and so many different types of inhabitants. We're just one of many inhabitants of this planet. And once we begin to understand that and realize we're sharing it with a whole host of beings and, you know, higher dimensional beings as well that we can't even see, like you said, and there are, most assuredly, there are, you know, other star systems. They come here. This planet is pretty unique in that regard. It's quite a mixture of older and newer races, and it's very unique, and they're watching this planet to see, to ensure that it will ascend, and when it does, from, like Michael Sundberg has talked, when it does ascend, it will send the shockwave throughout the whole galaxy that will allow the rest of the galaxy to continue its evolutionary process. We're kind of the short bus, so to speak. We're holding back the evolution of a lot of other planetary systems, and they're all here waiting for our own ascension, and they're here to ensure that, you know, that we can make this happen. But it has to come from us, from every one of us as well, so they don't interfere at a free will level. So,
well, it's evident that there's something in the DNA of the human being. Some of it is expressed in the physical form that we take now, even though we age and wear out and we don't regrow limbs. It's in the DNA that we are immortal beings and we have abilities that either have been lost or underdeveloped that will make us or provide for us a way of becoming much greater than we are. And I believe peaceful. I believe that is our nature, even though it appears as though as natural men we want to fight. We want to raise the banner and go charging across the frozen tundra at one another over the smallest thing. I think we have it in us to be united, and maybe it will take an event that takes the headlines away from the 24-hour news channels of tragedy and war and greed and failure to success and love and reunion, something that has the power to rewrite history, to change the nature of the human being so that we may become earthlings instead of the animals we behave like. Jason, it has been my pleasure to have you on the program, and I look forward to hearing from you again and seeing you out there as I travel and speak. You'll keep us posted, right, if anything shows up out there?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'll keep you guys posted as well as possible. And it's been my pleasure as well being on your radio show, and keep up the good work informing people and affording people the opportunity to find out more. So
we'll keep the link to, is it holoplanet.blogspot.com, right?
That's correct, yes.
All right, we'll keep that link on our website forever.
Okay.
And hopefully the plans that have made themselves known to us this last week, which we have not announced yet, just for the reasons that you mentioned already, we don't want to draw attention to ourselves, if they pan out, then our target for next summer is on. And you'll keep that open for us, and we'll keep a parka open for you.
I appreciate it very much, and most definitely, I mean, I can open up my schedule very easily, so.
Well, I reckon. Don't go get married on us or anything and say, oh, gee, I can't come, Dr. Agnew. I'm getting married, and she's not going to let me go. If you do get married, just bring your spouse.
I would just say, hey, you're going to have to wait for me for a few.
That's the better answer right there.
Right.
All right. We will talk to you later. And in our next hour, we're going to bring Robert Plar on. He has got a story about sustainable freedom, a new housing system. You're going to be totally fascinated by this. We'll be back with more X Squared Radio after this. We'll be right back. is someplace you should visit before the end of the week. The Horizon Project is probably the most important examination of future events in the world today. But there is a reason you should visit their website soon. I can't give you all the details here, but I can tell you that the first DVD in the six-part series is now available for pre-purchase at $5 off. This series will no doubt be airing on the History Channel or Discovery Channel, but you need the uncut version with all of the bonus material. Trust me, it may be one of the most important video productions you will ever see. Click on the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio today. Many people write us here at X Squared Radio wanting to know how to get prepared for the coming cataclysms. Well, we have been successful in acquiring the best affiliate in the world for emergency preparedness. NitroPak has been around for 18 years and can provide everything you need for life. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a year's supply of excellent quality foods and supplements for a single person or a whole family. Don't be left without the essentials of life. NitroPak is the name. Click the banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. OvernightPrints.com is your new source for business cards, postcards, and brochures. The best card stock on earth, easy-to-use online ordering tools, and overnight delivery available. Click on the OvernightPrints.com banner, and don't forget to use the X Squared code for an extra 10% off and free shipping. Come on, these are world-class business cards at your fingertips. Stop waiting for 2 weeks and paying over $100 for second-rate business cards. Get action fast, as low as $9.95 at OvernightPrints.com. Chances are you own an inkjet printer. They're very cheap to buy, but those supplies can be outrageous. How about clicking on the 123 inkjet banner at X Squared Radio? Very inexpensive supplies, free shipping, and a chance to win a free printer every time you buy. Now, how cool is that? Check out 123HS at x2-radio.com. The foundations of religion and science were used to restore knowledge lost for over 6,000 years in our first book. The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 2, called 2012 and the Harvest of the End Times, brings us vital knowledge for the race of mankind. Have the Watchers returned? What did the Aztecs mean by their ancient predictions for the year 2012? Why is Earth changing so rapidly now before our very eyes? Who were the Shining Ones who lived on the Earth and worked with mankind as they recovered from cataclysms? Who are we? Where did we come from? If you could find a book that answers just one of these questions, you'd buy it. Now there are two in this series that is sweeping the world with its message. Go to arcofmillionsofyears.com and get your autographed copy today. Now, also available in full audio version. Late night. This is our debut at LateNightBBSRadio.com, and we're glad you're here with us. Phone lines are still open. We're going to leave them open for the next 2 hours. Toll-free anywhere in the United States, 877-876-5227. Toll-free anywhere in Canada, 888-810-8322. And anywhere else in the world, on planet, off planet, you can reach us, 530-876-3222.
We have your guest.
I did want to reiterate there about Overnight Prince. They're our newest affiliate. And if you've gone out there and tried to buy business cards, you'll find all kinds of tissue paper business cards out there. This company has a proprietary business card paper. It's very snappy. Information on both sides, full color, UV print, UV over print on both sides. Really top quality, first class card. As cheap as $10. I mean, you can't beat it. And if you need overnight, literally, you can order these cards by 5 p.m. Pacific time and get them the next morning anywhere in the country. Now, there's just no printer that will deliver like that. Postcards, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, whatever you need as far as high-volume printing overnight, as low as 100 cards, you can get them overnight. That's the place to go, but make sure to go to x2-radio.com, click on that overnight prints banner, and use the code X squared. You get an extra 10% off and always free shipping. And also, don't forget about the San Francisco Bay Area UFO Conference coming up the 25th and 26th of this month. This is the granddaddy of UFO conferences. If you want to really go to a first-class organization, this is the one to go to. You're going to hear some really great speakers. Even George Norrie is going to be there. And this coming weekend at just north of Mount Shasta, California, in Weed, California, at Siskiyou College, a great four-day conference. Go to ShalimarProductions.com and pick up on that one. David Icke is going to be at that one, among other speakers. I'll be at both of these conferences. If you want to meet, I'll be happy to sign your books for you. If you don't have a book, we'd be happy to get one in your hands. And also, don't forget that our DVD movie, The Expedition, Inner Earth Expedition Part 1, is now for sale, even on Amazon.com. So you can get there, get your copy of it. I guarantee quality. And if you like Discovery Channel specials, you're going to love this. This hour, our guest is perhaps the hardest working man in the field of sustainable energy. He has combined technologies into a complete habitat system that is completely off the grid. He has an enormously beautiful complex called the Angel's Nest that is as stunning to look at as it is to live in. It makes its own electricity, it makes its own water, and when it's 10 below outside, it's warm and comfy inside. His name is Robert Plahr, and his story is one that will change the way you view housing. Please welcome with me Robert Plahr. How are you, Robert? Were we able to reach Robert Plahr? Do I have a producer on the line? I love this late night. We have...
BBSRadio.com. Bring humanity closer to truth.
And welcome back to X Squared Radio. We love the technical difficulties of late night. It makes it so much fun. I did want to let you know that this hour, our guest, Robert Plahr, he is definitely the hardest working man in the field of sustainable energy. As I said, he has an enormously beautiful complex called the Angel's Nest, a new book out called Sustainable Freedom, and I'm just overwhelmed to have him on the program. Please welcome with me Robert Plahr. How are you?
Thank you. Very well. Thank you very much. I'm speaking up here from Taos, New Mexico. We're in the facility now, so we're off-grid as we're talking.
Wow, that is amazing. And so you have phone line, too. That's just incredible. I met Robert at the Conscious Life Expo with David Sarita, and besides becoming fast friends, I was so fascinated with your housing designs, I wanted to buy one right away. So tell us how your dream got started.
Well, it started in 1975 when I built my first unit in Allentown, Pennsylvania. It is underground, earth-sheltered home, built the world's largest privately owned windmill at that time, and we also used them in our amusement park to pull the roller coasters up the hill. We used it to offset the electrical bill of the amusement park by putting the world's largest privately owned wind turbine at that time up, planted poplar trees for ethanol fuel, testing some floating hydroelectric plants in our lakes and rivers. So we tried in the early 70s during the Carter administration's 10% tax credit for solar and wind during that period to try to be sustainable back then. And obviously we made a lot of mistakes. We learned through all those mistakes, and today we have a hybrid building up here that is the model for the world, and very shortly, within the next year, we'll be building these seven-day homes that everyone in the country can enjoy that will go up in 7 days, and it will be off-grid or on-grid, but it will manufacture its own water and produce its own energy. So no matter what happens in the whole world, a terrorist attack or natural disaster, your home will be operating when everyone else's home is down.
Oh, my God.
And that is called Homeland Security. Yeah, that is called Homeland Security, Social Security, and health care all in one building.
Wow. Well, listen, as you're listening to this radio program, Earth Explorers, you probably need to go to the website at www.plahr.com. And the pictures that you see on this website will tell the story. But if you put the pictures with the program, you'll be joining the sustainable energy crowd. I just love this website. I've got the color book, Sustainable Energy, and wow, it's such an incredible house. How did you come up with the idea of consolidating all of these various features into one house?
Well, the real problem we have today is if you go to buy a car, put a key in it, and you drop it off. The problem in the country is if you want a sustainable home, you'd have to try to find 100 contractors, and one might have solar, one might have wind, one might have water. And the problem is people want a finished, turnkey, sustainable home that has zero impact on the planet. So we have all these great scientists that joined us. We have Sir Charles Schultz and Michael Fulton and Joe Holden. Quite a few of those folks live up here as we speak, and they manufacture and create new technologies every day. We have over 100 scientists that are contributing their technologies, and it's called sustainable integration. It's meaning when you take all these systems and integrate it in one living building or one home, then you create a very inexpensive way to be off-grid, that you produce your own energy, recycle your own waste, grow your own food, fuel your own vehicles, and do your own health care all in one building. And we're about to launch it worldwide to the masses, affordable housing that goes up in 7 days, and within about a year and 2 months, we will start delivering these buildings. We're very excited about it, and we certainly have the team that can do it, and we're about to launch. Right now we're building roads, sewage, and water, meaning we use these natural roads that we spray this natural agent in the road, and it becomes a form of concrete and eliminates $200,000 a mile in road construction. You eliminate all the aggregate. It lowers the carbon footprint, so we can build roads, retaining walls, ponds. with this natural agent that turns the dirt into a form of concrete. So you're eliminating concrete and rebar, which has a terrible carbon footprint and is very expensive. This becomes affordable to the masses now.
Wow, that's incredible. Let's just do a little math here and try to compare it to a normal stick-built house or even a prefab house. How much money does the average person spend on energy and water for a home these days? For a year?
Well, it really depends. I have some friends in New Orleans that they live in low-income housing, but their air conditioning bill is $800 a month. The air conditioning bill is more than the mortgage of the house. The problem we have in the United States today is that between the mortgage, the insurance, the taxes, and the utility bills, it's almost inaffordable. And what we're planning to do is build homes, which we are doing now, and within a year, a couple months, we'll be delivering these homes that actually manufacture their own water, recycle their own waste, and manufacture their own energy. We believe a home should be like a computer. It should get cheaper. And, if, for instance, a computer gets cheaper every year and there's more memory. A home should get cheaper and there should be more energy. So our plan is to build homes that become cheaper and produce more energy. And, we need to because, we're fighting wars and we're all over the world because we're hooked on oil, and you don't have to be at all. With these homes, you don't need any oil. And, that's why we're doing it, because, our country can't last much longer at $3 and $4 gas, soon to be $5 gas. We just can't survive on it with all the other bills we have. So we're creating something that'll be very inexpensive for the masses. And, it all comes to economics. If we make it cheaper and better, there's no reason why you should build a regular home. I call every home in America Katrina Candy, because once the electric comes off, you're a third world country within a couple hours. You can't flush your toilets, your refrigeration goes down, you have no heat, and you have no air conditioning or anything. So we're held hostage by utilities that run a million homes at a time. So if there's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, you have no choice. With our homes, you are your own utility. You're all your own water plant. You take care of yourself. You have not held hostage by anything. You're the king and queen of your castle for the first time in history with no outside interference.
Well, now, one thing comes to mind right away is if you're building a house that produces its own electricity, produces its own clean water, and can stay warm in the winter and cool in the summertime, I would think you would not have to build this house along the existing power lines. You could build a house anywhere you wanted.
Well, you have best of both worlds. If you are connected to utility, you reverse your meter and you get a check every month because you're selling your power. You become a utility for the utility, so they don't have to build these giant power plants. The homes that we have will actually be able to sell the power. If you don't have any access to power or sewage or water, then the land becomes extraordinarily cheap. Along the national forest of the U.S., you can get land for $1,000 an acre, $500 an acre. It has no utilities. Well, our home is its own utility. We manufacture the water. We manufacture the energy. You don't have to run these expensive sewage lines and power lines. And the reason everything costs so much in the United States, you have to run the infrastructure. And as you can see right now, the infrastructure in the United States is failing. A few weeks ago in New York, they had that big pipe burst under the city, and then the bridge the other day collapsed. When every home is its own utility and its own infrastructure, you have less expense, tremendous amount of less cost to build a home when you don't have to dig all these ditches and run all these lines and connect it to a big power grid. So you have best of both worlds. If you're connected to a power grid, you can sell your power. If you're not, you don't have any problems at all.
Well, this has great potential all the way around, not just for the average family that can live in one of these houses and, of course, turn all the money that they would normally be spending on electricity and water to other things like education or other items that they want to buy or even investments. But it also has a planetary effect. I was speaking to an energy analyst the other day, and he said, you know, if people would just go around their house and turn off all the instruments they have in their house, all the equipment that's sitting on standby, things like VCRs and DVDs and televisions and all that, even though they're not on,
They have circuitry that requires power for them to be ready at your beck and call. All the memory is stored. The little red lights are on. If everyone just turned those off, they could shut down one nuclear power plant in this country. Now, that was unbelievable to me.
Yes, so it's true. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, if you're talking about cranking out, and I don't know what your capacity is, but if you're talking about cranking out 20,000 homes a year, let's say, in 5 years' time, you'd have a small city running on nothing, running on the free and available energy the planet gives away every day.
And there's plenty of it. And what's exciting about our book, The Secret of Sustainability, from people who live it, build it, invent it. In the book, you'll see these energies that are coming out that have been invented in the last 100 years. All the stuff that you'll be seeing in these homes have already been invented 70 or 60 or 50 years ago. But at that time, when gas was 10 cents or 15 cents a gallon, it didn't mean anything. Those systems are back on board. They're inexpensive because now they're integrated into a system. And as you'll see in the book, that we are going to invigorate this country by bringing those systems back and also helping the utilities. The utilities can't build utility plants fast enough. And so what we're going to do is retrofit existing homes. We just had a dentist the other day, Dr. Kelly, that read the book, and she says, I'm going to turn this into a green dentist's office. So she's taking all natural products. We're going to retrofit her place in about a year and a half with some of these systems, and she wants to be off the grid. Even though she'll be on the grid, she can sell her excess power. But we could be part of the solution. Even if you have an existing home, it's retrofittable, or building these new homes that we'll have out in about a year and 2 months, you can have a near-zero impact house that doesn't contribute to the damage of our world. We just signed a contract in Kabone, Africa, to build sewage, roads, and water. And then within 16 months, we start building homes for them. And the key is that with our natural roads, we can build any road in the world for half the existing cost. We can build any kind of natural wall overseas for half the existing cost. And that's the whole problem. People can't afford to build developments today because of the horrific cost of the infrastructure, the roads, the sewage, the electric hookups. That's why, you know, some properties cost a couple hundred thousand for a quarter acre, because you're paying for all that infrastructure. You eliminate all those costs. You eliminate $25,000 to do a well. You eliminate hundreds of thousands of dollars a mile. And so when you build your development, the cost of your land or your plot is so much less, half the cost of a regular lot, because you don't have all this infrastructure that costs a fortune. And that's what we're doing. We're giving people an alternative that'll be cheaper than what they have now, and that will virtually have no bills the rest of their life. And that's what you have to have, because in another year or two, with $4 and $5 gas, it's going to cause havoc in this country, because that's unaffordable to the masses. That's going to take a big bite out of their income. And it's going to be terrible. That's why all these systems are going in now. The country's becoming green. It's hit to be green for the first time. Large corporations are becoming green. And it's an exciting time, because people are finally accepting it and they're implementing it because of the cost of energy.
Well, I can tell you right now that it would be hip to live in one of these houses. If you'll go to plarr.com, that's plarr.com, and look at the house. Look at the plans of these houses. I don't know anybody that wouldn't just be tickled to death to live in one of these houses. I mean, they're not only beautiful to look at, they're very functional. I mean, you had mentioned something when I met you at the Conscious Life Expo. There's something very unique about your water preparation system, your water filtration system. How does that work? What are the benefits of it?
Well, the exciting thing about it is it's a complete closed-loop system. And Ken Swingle up here in Taos is a world's best contractor that's part of our team that already has his systems passed in the Taos County. And it's a system that will basically take all your waste, make it body contact potable. We put it into our in-store rainforest, and we're going to do hydroponics now. And then we have an air-to-water machine that's in there that will manufacture up to 200 gallons a day out of the atmosphere you're creating from your excess waste, and then that's put back into the cistern. So you either collect it from the roof, from rain, or we manufacture it out of the atmosphere we create inside the building. Remember, our double and triple greenhouses and part of our building is five things. It produces water. It eliminates 90% of your air conditioning, eliminates 90% of your heating. It provides oxygen, medicine, and food. And what's exciting about it is that when you're in your own atmosphere, you don't cough and hack because the banana leaves inside your house are so powerful they take carpet fibers out of the air. So you're probably aware that at homes, indoor houses are 10 times more polluted than outside because you've got the rugs and all these chemicals in the walls. So when you have one of our homes, you have your own biosphere, you have your own oxygen-producing machine inside, so you sleep and you breathe and you feel so good, and you don't have all the maladies that everyone else has in these homes that are toxic. I call them toxic soups because of all the chemicals that are inside these houses.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know what those chemicals are, but I can tell you every time you sit down on that soft couch, you're actually compressing a urethane foam. Now, urethane is made out of cyanoacrylate. That means cyanide. Every time you crush that pillow in your couch, you are emitting some of the uncured monomer fumes into your home, and you breathe them in. Same thing with your paneling and with your carpet padding underneath your carpet. If you have artificial fiber carpet, whether it's nylon or rayon, those also emit chemicals. They sublimate right into the air, and you breathe them, and they infuse through your skin. But I think what Robert's talking about here is an actual rainforest inside your home. It acts like an air filter, right?
Absolutely. And if the banana leaf, again, is so powerful, it takes carpet fibers out of the air. People that stay here, they have such deep sleeps, they don't cough anymore. And it's very exciting. And we have a group, the Green Financial, when you get a home, who's going to lend the money? Our group, Green Financial, with Rick Garland and Marty, they actually lend money to people that go green. So the exciting thing is that our group will do everything. We lend you the money. We have the systems, the road systems, the solar, and all those kinds of things. And so what happens is before, to try to borrow money on an indestructible home, they look at you like you're crazy. Today, the banks are lending to these things because they realize they're near indestructible. When Katrina came and all those homes were wiped off their foundations, a lot of companies got stuck with billions of dollars of mortgages because the home was no longer on the slab. In our case, we don't have those situations because our design helps, from hurricanes and floods and all those types of things. Our home is quite resistant to all those maladies. And the key is, we've always should have built these homes. Nature has taught us for millions of years how to live. Man tried to outsmart themselves, and all we're doing is building the rainforests around the world are being chopped down. We can't do much about big governments, but every time we build a home, we rebuild the rainforest inside your house. That is your natural cleaning. Remember, it produces oxygen, medicine, and food inside your house. And it is your heating, air conditioning, water manufacturing system. So during the day, we can manufacture up to 200 gallons out of the atmosphere we create from their wastewater that transpires through the leaves. So we're manufacturing the purest water in the world, delivering it to you. Here at our place, we have no wells. We have no water. We have to manufacture our own water, and we collect it from the roof. So every place in the world can have it. And if you're not aware, the number one cause of disease worldwide is dirty water. And 90% of all the diseases could be eliminated if people around the world had clean water. When we build these homes in Africa and everyone else, we have our own water system. We have our own rainforest. We have our own materials that you actually... folks that live in these things in these countries will be drinking pure water for the first time because in the most humid climates of the world where the most water is, it's the most polluted with parasites and all kinds of things. So we're very excited that we can deliver the plow and the seed. When you can deliver a home in Gabon, Africa, that produces clean water and shelters people. Instead of giving somebody a polio shot that dies of starvation the next day, we provide a shelter that produces clean water and food and energy, and that's all the people in the world need. They need to have a safe home, and that prevents wars. And these homes will be very inexpensive because we're going to use the dirt they're actually standing on with our supernatural agent that turns these roads into a form of concrete and the buildings. So we're not shipping concrete, steel, or wood. We're using the existing material on the ground in that community, creating an economy for them, creating roads that they can actually transport their vegetables to market so the roads aren't unusable for 6 months. So now we're creating the plow and the seed for every country so they can exist in comfort and not be starving and having these natural maladies happening to them. So we're very excited that this is going worldwide. We just, we're doing it in Africa, South America, and China. And when you can provide a home that's cheaper than the existing homes that are built, and then you have no energy bills or water bills the rest of your life, that is homeland security. That is true homeland security, Social Security, and health care all in one. And remember this, we will never see Social Security, and we will never see health care. Our children will never see it. It will be long gone. So we build homes that have all that in it. And that's exciting because the first form of homeland security is not using outside sources of energy like foreign oil, and we eliminate that by using these in our houses.
Well, one of the things that I notice as I fly around the country speaking at various conventions and events is that the plane flies over a lot of open space, and not just to flatland either, way up in the mountains where there's plenty of water and trees and open land, but there's no power structure. There's no, there, if there are roads, they're few and far between, but there's certainly no power lines, and that's why people don't build homes in these areas. But you're saying that you can free people from that dependence upon that wire, upon that pole. You can actually build whole communities and stop the urban sprawl.
Absolutely, and think about it. If you have to build a development today for 1,000 homes, it costs about $25 million to build sewage plants and all the kinds of things you have to do. If you wanted to build 1,000 homes like we have, there is no infrastructure. There is no bulldozers digging lines. The only thing you would have would be our natural roads. Every house would be its own infrastructure. You're eliminating 90% of the cost of development, and you have a near-zero impact on the planet. We're not delivering sewage into rivers and oceans. We recycle, reuse everything, and we transpire that through our leaves, and we make fresh water every day from the atmosphere we create, and our energy systems that are so incredible, coming from a friend, Chris Patton, that is the president of Tesla Sustainable Homes, and Rick Garland and Michael Fulton, who's delivering solar panels and solar energy the next year that will be 8 times less the cost of existing solar panels. All these things are coming in the systems. These people actually live here. Joe Holden invented the afterburner, the rocket, the jet engine, and when he was 18 years old, they actually moved in here. They're living here now, and they said, we're turning everything over to the family, the World's Nest family, because they want the children to have something. They're not going to die with their patents to their breasts. They are sharing and delivering these inexpensive, incredible technologies that have been invented over the years, and they're implementing them, sustainably integrating them, so we can deliver cheap, affordable housing to the masses and able to retrofit every home in America. This is a true gift of teamwork, and it's a big one happy family. And I'd love to invite you and your wife to come up here in the next couple of weeks and actually stay here, because you can't explain this building. You have to feel the energy. You have to breathe the rainforest in your lungs. You have to meet the people here with such sustainable passion to deliver this for the children of America, because they won't be able to afford any home. They cannot afford these homes that fail in natural disasters. Our homes will not, and it's a very exciting new paradigm. The next 50,000 millionaires will be in the green building arena that's happening worldwide right now and in the U.S. We're looking to build these 7 to 14 day homes that will be affordable to the masses, and you're in and on your house, and you have no worries the rest of your life. Just think, at night, if there's a terrorist attack or a natural disaster, your home is operating when every other home is shut down. and a utility that shuts down a million homes, you are operating. And you are your own utility. You're your own water manufacturing. You're your own health care. You don't have to be sick because all these kids have asthma today. 10 times more asthma because they're breathing that filth inside their house. The rugs are virus factories. The walls are full of chemicals. And they wonder why the kids are hacking and they can't breathe. Put a rainforest in your house and you're breathing the freshest air in the world. And when you put your finger on a banana leaf, there's a dirt on your finger. It collects the filth out of the air. It's just incredible. So I'm inviting both of you to come up here and just have a blast up here.
So is your home a kind of kit that's delivered to your property and then you need someone to put it together for you, or is it you just come?
Yes, what we're doing is we're developing a kit that will be available in about a year, and it will be delivered to a contractor. The contractor will be taught up here, and they will deliver you that house. We have all the systems. It's like a car. When you go to a car dealership, you buy that car, you turn the key in the car, and you leave. That's what we're developing right now. All our systems work. All our prototypes have worked. We're integrating it in a very inexpensive form that goes up in 7 days. It'll almost be like a Lego block. You plug the building together, and you plug all the systems together, and you're out in 7 to 14 days. It's affordable. And that's what we're doing. And in 2008, we're going to deliver that, and we're going to film one of the homes going up very shortly for the world. And it's one thing to have a research and development place like we have. It's another thing to deliver inexpensive housing to the world in mass, and that's our only plan. The only reason I've been doing this for over 35 years is to deliver affordable housing with pure water to the 4 billion people in this world that don't have access to water or energy, and the other 2 billion people that have limited access to water and energy. We're going to solve that problem. When you give everyone an opportunity to live clean and free, you don't have wars. You have economies. Everyone is a piece of the rock, and that's what we're doing. We're delivering over 35 years of work. All the people are here, affordable housing to the masses. In 2008, we're going to start showing these and demonstrating them. You can actually walk into these homes and stay there, and we're going to teach thousands of contractors and then millions of contractors to do this, because the contractors don't like what they're doing now. They have to buy concrete that is in, and 55% goes to China. They can't find it that has a high carbon imprint. The steel and lumber is expensive. We're eliminating all those things. We're using natural agents that turn dirt into concrete. We're using all kinds of natural materials like the Romans. Volcanic ash was the original concrete. The Roman Colosseum and the aqueducts are still standing because they used volcanic ash, the most incredible material in the world, and it's free. So we're using sugar ashes and fly ashes and volcanic ashes in our material. And they don't burn, and they're water resistant. So those are the things. What people think is waste is gold. The next $1 trillion in this country is taking waste and turning into gold, and solar and wind and biofuel and hydrogen. It's all there, and it's an exciting new era for young people, because the sustainable Microsofts of the future will be people that get into this paradigm. And it is happening now. It's happening in mass, and we're excited to be part of it, to deliver inexpensive housing to the world that's fully sustainable and nearly zero impact on the planet. And that's what we have to do to save our world. You have to be sustainable on Mars. You have to be sustainable in the moon. And we have to be sustainable on this planet, or we're destroying this planet. We have to become sustainable beings on this precious Earth, and we can be. We've proved it up here. Now we're going to deliver it to the masses, and that's been our whole goal, and that's the only thing we want to do.
It sounds like the real Habitat for Humanity.
Exactly right.
I see so many opportunities for not only employment, but also for use of things that we would normally be throwing in the landfill or burying in the ground or otherwise forgetting about. Here it is in huge quantities right at our fingertips. All we have to do is use it, and we don't have to cut down a whole bunch of trees, and we don't have to synthesize a bunch of unnatural chemicals to put into our ground and to make our houses out of, so that we have all this interior pollution. So let me ask a little bit about about the manufacturing process. I know you're in New Mexico, and I'm wondering about when you say mass produce, do you have, is this something that could be made, the components could be made in a factory and then, you know, shipped all over the world to order?
Well, this is what's exciting about it. We go to the regions of the country and the world. There's a lot of waste stream material. Some places have sugar ash, fly ash, volcanic ash, different dirts. Up here in New Mexico, we're very lucky. We have near-perfect soil. We built a road, because almost the angel's nest, 3,000 PSI. It has the strength of concrete. We're going to use that for foundations. In Tijuana, they're building 100-foot retaining walls with no concrete and steel using these natural agents. So we can go into these countries, use the existing materials that are localized, have our own cake mix, because you can make them in 20 or 30 different mixtures, and then the local economy. So you're not trying to ship them steel, lumber, and wood they can't afford. You take the local economy, you build the roads, they are part of the economy, they are the contractors that build the system, they're the community that makes the money, and that's the only way they can survive, because right now they can't buy these things. And we just signed different contracts with different countries in Africa because we can actually deliver these structures and these roads at half the existing costs that they cost now. It becomes affordable, and that's all we're doing. We're taking logical things that have already been here, and places like Home Depot, and there's manufacturing plants across the country. When we give them the formulas, they can pop the stuff out. Any manufacturer in the country, when we give them the formulas to these panels and these things, they can manufacture those in mass. But what it does do, it allows contractor with two or three employees to build a home every 7 to 14 days instead of a home every 6 months. We're building a Model T. We're not going to have many custom homes because a custom home becomes expensive. We're going to have one model that we have. In fact, the next couple of days we're putting the plans out. That can be built anywhere in the world in one model. If you want it bigger, then you use that model to build three or four of those pods around it. But it will strictly be a Model T. We need to get millions out there. It'll go up quickly. It'll have basically the same format in every house, but it gets to the people that need it the most. It's a great guest house. It's a great casita. It's a great safety house to those $10 million homes in California that will fail when the electric goes out. If they have one of our homes in their backyard with a rainforest inside, that's their safety house. When everything else fails, they run into our beautiful pods, and they live like kings.
That's interesting. Are these hard to assemble? Are they go together pretty easy, or do you need special
tools? Yes, what our designers are doing, and one of them is Joe Holden, the guy that is an aerospace engineer, a marine engineer, and an automotive engineer from Rolls-Royce. He's born in 1930. These are the people that are here that are designing these panels and these systems, and Ken Swingle, that actually plug together, sort of like a Lego block. The system will be the floor, roof, and wall, and it plugs together sort of like a Lego, and then these systems just plug together, and it makes it a simple house that's near indestructible. It withstands high heat, high winds, it's water resistant, and again, these materials are made from waste stream materials. What we think is waste is actually gold, and garbage dumps now become a place where we'll mine the garbage to gasify, to make hydrogen and electricity. And a lot of, like, for instance, up in New Mexico and anywhere in the country, you have the dirt you're standing on becomes a form of dirt concrete that you can build walls, roads, retaining walls. You can dig a pond out and coat this agent on there, and it becomes a pool. So this stuff's been out for 20 years. My partner, Ed Colin, part of the World's Nest family, have been building roads for 10 years in 36 countries and thousands of miles. One example is 8 years ago we built a road in Brazil in the rainforest. This road would wash out every month. He put this natural road in 8 years ago. It has never washed out since. They went back 8 years, and the road grew from 7 inches deep to about 20 inches deep. These agents grew stronger and harder, and the road has not been down in 8 years where it went down every month. Uh-huh. These are the exciting things that have been around. And remember, everything we're doing in these homes has been around for 100 years. It's just never been implemented, and we're We're integrating all these systems, and we're implementing them now. So there's no brain science here. There's these wonderful inventors have invented this over the year. We're just implementing in something called the science of sustainable integration. We're integrating all of them into one living body.
Well, now, one of the things that has not been around are these high-efficiency, low-cost solar panels. Tell us a little bit about those, because Governor Schwarzenegger has a very special tax program for California residents. He wants every home in California to have at least some of their energy coming from solar panels. So tell us a little bit
about that. Well, this is a huge breakthrough. Michael Fulton, who's part of our family, he did the Mars lander, he did the coatings and the space shuttle, Mr. Palin and the family were involved. He has come out, and I can't really talk about it because it's about to be starting manufacturing very shortly, and it's going to reduce the cost of solar panels 6-7 times. It's very exciting. That's all I can really tell you about it, but it uses a lot less silicon, and the way it's designed, it has a much higher efficiency, and it's not going to cost very much. And what it does, it allows all the solar companies to be able to put out panels that are not only affordable to the very rich right now, but everyone in the United States would be able to afford solar panels at these new costs. And I thank Michael Fulton. I met him through Coast to Coast and a few other folks like that, and they've joined our family, and they are delivering the goods. So this is just one of many alternate technologies that we have that are being implemented as everyone is working and sleeping. These things are taking place, and within a year or so, by 2008, this stuff is coming out in great quantity, and it will be delivered to the world. In fact, you're the first show we're launching on. We are now going to get this out to the world and every medium, and we're going to share all this stuff with the planet. The planet is becoming green, and we're going to be one of the folks that deliver the stuff that everybody wants. I can tell you we've been on some shows, and this is everyone wants to live in a sustainable home that they don't have any cost the rest of their life. Everybody wants to breathe and pick a banana out of their house or papaya. Everyone wants to drive a car that has low impact on the planet, and it's always been a fantasy for the last 30, 40 years. Now we can deliver it, and the world is finally accepted, especially the U.S. The U.S. has gone green. Like I said, it's hip and wonderful. All the large corporations are going green, and we're excited to be able to deliver this, and we're happy that your show is the first launching of this movement.
Well, that's what we try to do here on X Squared Radio, and because that is so, this program that we're doing tonight with Robert Plahr will be in our free listening area. You will not have to subscribe to X Squared Radio. You won't have to pay any money to listen to this program tonight. We want to do everything we can to perpetuate this, and we're going to make the MP3 available. You can copy it. You can email it to people. Do whatever you need to with it. Get the word out there that this technology is coming. Show your interest. Go to plahr.com, plahr.com. Look at this home. I mean, it's going to blow your mind. Not only have you not seen anything like it before, not since maybe old Disney future movies, have you seen anything like this? But the home is just striking. Now, I'm trying not to make this program a big infomercial, but I don't know anybody that has done what you have done. And when I say that, I mean you, with your own back and your own muscles, have actually dug the ditches and built the homes from scratch to test out the integration of this technology. And you've brought solar and wind and thermal energies together in a very attractive, affordable package. This is not a $1 million home, folks. What does the average home kit cost to deliver? What would you imagine?
We believe that in the near future we will build homes for the masses that will be considered low income housing. from $100 a square foot to $200 a square foot. And our goal is within the year, within 12, 14 months, to have these homes built in mass so we can hit the $100 a square foot mark for the basic home, which will have everything, and it'll be a finished home. And then, obviously, you can add things to it and upgrade it. But we're looking at low-income housing at $100 a square foot. If you want to get a little fancier, you get $200 a square foot. Well, you certainly will have is a home that will manufacture its own water and its own energy, and you will not be held hostage. And the great thing is, if you're connected to a utility, you become your own utility because the power that you make extra will be sold to the utility, so you'll be actually paid for your excess power. And, you know, you're going to be drinking the purest water in the world because you're manufacturing it out of your house, out of transpired plants through the air. And if you happen to live in Florida or New Orleans where the humidity is miserable and you're just horribly miserable with our air-to-water machines that manufacture water, you'll be able to produce hundreds of gallons a day in your rainforest, in your house, without that horrific humidity. You'll be producing probably twice as much water than other areas because of it, and it also makes you very comfortable. So when you do have a natural disaster and all the water's tainted, the sewage lines are broke, and the water lines are broke, you are manufacturing the cleanest water in the world out of your house and drinking it, and you don't have to worry about drinking tainted water because, as you know, after natural disaster, you have all kinds of diseases and all kinds of chemicals in the water and all kinds of terrible things. You never have that with these buildings because they are your safety standard.
Now, what's the square footage of your basic pod unit?
Well, what we're planning on is about a 1,100 square foot pod. But remember, what we're planning is if somebody wanted a 3,000 square foot, we take the pods and put them in three spaces next to each other. Again, we're going for the Model T. We want to get these homes extraordinarily inexpensive, so we're going to have one model that you can inside change the direction of your house, where the kitchen is, and all those kind of other kinds of things. But we're going to make it that it's about 1,100 square foot, and that you, again, at Casita, we have a college right around here that wants to build pods for the dorms, because a lot of the colleges now, when somebody donates money to college, they say, you have to be green. We're not going to donate our $10 million or $2 million unless you do green. What's happening to all the benefactors in the country, they're putting caveats on, and they're saying, if you want our money at the college, you're going to have to be sustainable, and this is a huge sea change. A lot of the great grant money and foundation money is converting it into sustainability. They want to fund buildings that are green that don't cost a fortune to maintain, and that's the big change I see that's happening right now. And our goal is a 1,100 square foot home. It can be bigger with it connecting, but this is the home for the masses. Remember, a casita, a guest house, a nice house for a family of four, for Africa, for South America, for China. This is the home that we're going to deliver in those countries off their own waste stream materials. And, you know, China can't become Americans. Americans use 25 barrels of oil per person per year. China and India want to become Americans. Right now they're using about 3 or 4 barrels of oil per year. If they become Americans and 2 billion people use 25 barrels of oil per person per year, we're finished. So we're going over there right now, and China's very excited to be able to build homes with its own infrastructure. They won't have to dig sewage lines. They won't have to run power lines, because every new home they have will be its own infrastructure, and they can save billions and trillions of dollars of infrastructure by not having to do what we have done here in America. And as you see, our cities are a couple hundred years old. Those infrastructures under the cities are leaching and leaking and failing. A lot of those sewage lines are 100 years old, and they're leaking into the water table and into the oceans. We cannot keep on building these massive infrastructures that we cannot pay for, and we cannot dig up all these big cities. So when you build a home like we have, where it's its own infrastructure, you eliminate all that future nightmarish infrastructure problems that we are inheriting today.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I can tell you.
This is the university. This is the university can do choo-choos. No shoulda, coulda, woulda is allowed. And when you buy one of our books, it goes right into building a solar steam engine, or it goes into a thermal water unit. We take every penny. I've hawked everything, Victoria, my partner, and I have hawked everything we've made over 30 years, and we put everything into this because we know we have to deliver a solution. We can no longer talk about the environmental movement. The last 40 years, we've been talking about the environmental movement, and the planet's 1,000 times worse off than it was 30, 40 years ago. We are delivering brick and mortar. We are delivering the top scientists in the world that are now sharing their science with us. We're going to be delivering inexpensive homes to the masses that you can live for free the rest of your life without these horrific bills, and the young people will finally be able to afford a home. And not only that, the group, the Green Financial, is going to lend the money for people that build logical, safe houses. We no longer will have banks that won't lend you money for a house that's indestructible. They're going to lend you money, and they're going to mandate that you have these kinds of houses that don't fail.
I feel the energy that you bring to this industry, and it is so needed. I see the way that we have formed our society, much in the old way when we had colonies. We built a church in the middle, and then 640 square miles around it, we form our community around the center of power. And that's kind of what we've done in all of our cities. As you fly around this country, you'll see that. You'll see little towns here and there, but as far as how we have chosen to live as a society, we have not used our land. We haven't used our resources very well. And this house, this design, this integration of renewable, clean energy allows us to utilize our planet better. And I can tell you, I've been to India, I've been to Nepal, I've been to Tibet. 1,000 square feet, 1,100 square feet is a palace for some of these countries. And I have lived in houses less than that when I was growing up. There's nothing in our paradigm that says we have to live in 10,000 square foot houses, every one of us in this country, nor does a house have to cost $1 million. As Robert was saying earlier, you get out in these rural areas and property is very inexpensive. And when you're talking $100 a square foot for a built, finished house that supplies its own utilities, that is pennies on the dollar compared to what a modern house costs today. An 1,100 square foot today. If it costs you $80 or $90 a square foot to build, you still have $20 a square foot per year in utility costs.
And the key is that our goal is $100 a square foot for the basic house, which will have everything, which releases all the low-income housing funds in the United States. And we'll obviously there will be higher end, you know, $150 to $200 a square foot. But also, if you want to build a 3,000 square foot, you just put three of those pods connected together, and it looks beautiful. If you want a 10,000 square foot, you can add ten of those pods. So the key is here, is that our goal, within, I said in 2008, to deliver these houses, and we know we will, and they'll range from $100 $200 a square foot, and it's affordable to the masses. Over other countries, and this is what I couldn't tell you, these agents that we have, that we can actually now build a house out of the dirt we're standing on. We have a road that we built a few months ago that went up in a couple hours, and we're actually going to take the dirt and build the walls of the home, the floor of the home, and this changes those costs I just told you dramatically in these foreign countries. We can't even tell you the cost of these homes by building on the dirt that you're standing on. It becomes a super adobe. It becomes a form of dirt concrete that is indestructible, and we're very excited about it. And that's a whole different realm than what I've been telling you. We're going to be pre-making these panels and putting them up, but this natural agent that we're using can really turn the cost of homes in these other countries dramatically, and that's what we're excited about. The most thing I'm excited about is all the scientists that moved up here, building their plants up here, contributing all their technology to make this stuff this inexpensive. We've got Ken Swingle and Sir Charles Schultz and Joe Holden and Michael Fulton and Rick Garland. They're moving here in mass. Once they come in this building, they shake hands and said, "We're moving in." So they take the 5-minute decision when you're in this building and said, "I've changed my life. I want to." be part of a solution. I don't want to be part of the psychobabblers, which is talk, talk, talk. We need men of brick and mortar, women of brick and mortar, and that's what we're doing. We have to deliver a solution because there is no tomorrow. We can't wait 30 years for the environmental movement. We are launching now. We're making it so inexpensive that everyone can afford it. So if I give you a home that's cheaper than an existing home and you would have no bills, why would you build junk? Why would you want Katrina candy? When the electric goes off, you're a third world country within 2 hours. No refrigeration, no flushing of toilets, no air conditioning or heating. Why in God's name are we living like this in America? We no longer will allow it, and we're changing the paradigm.
Exactly. Wow. Well, we'll be back with more X-Squared Radio in about 4 minutes with my guest, Robert Plahr. We're going to talk a little bit about energy systems and the future of the environment as solved by the Eagle's Nest concept. We'll be back after these messages. OvernightPrints.com is your new source for business cards, postcards, and brochures. The best card stock on earth, easy-to-use online ordering tools, and overnight delivery available. Click on the OvernightPrints.com banner, and don't forget to use the X-Squared code for an extra 10% off and free shipping. Come on, these are world-class business cards at your fingertips. Stop waiting for 2 weeks and paying over $100 for second-rate business cards. Get action fast, as low as $9.95 at OvernightPrints.com. The foundations of religion and science were used to restore knowledge lost for over 6,000 years in our first book. The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 2, called 2012 and Harvest of the End Times, brings us vital knowledge for the race of mankind. Have the Watchers returned? What did the Aztecs mean by their ancient predictions for the year 2012? Why is Earth changing so rapidly now before our very eyes? Who were the Shining Ones who lived on the Earth and worked with mankind as they recovered from cataclysm? Who are we? Where did we come from? If you could find a book that answers just one of these questions, you'd buy it. Now there are two in a series that is sweeping the world with its message. Go to arcofmillionsofyears.com and get your autographed copy today. Now also available in full audio version. Chances are you own an inkjet printer. They're very cheap to buy, but those supplies can be outrageous. How about clicking on the 123 Inkjet banner at X Squared Radio? Very inexpensive supplies, free shipping, and a chance to win a free printer every time you buy. Now, how cool is that? Check out 123 Inkjet at x2-radio.com. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio.
Bye.
That's right. And we're here at X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future, and we're bringing the future to you here tonight with our guest, Robert Plahr. All you have to do is go to plahr.com, plahr.com, and you can get your hands on this kind of technology. Now, in the last hour, Robert had mentioned that the average American uses somewhere around 25 barrels of oil a year, and that's every man, woman, and child in this country. We live pretty well, not just with our SUVs, but also the electricity that we use in our homes and the forms of recreation that we participate in, not just racing and flying, but even going to the movies uses a lot of energy. But in the third world countries, currently, they use about 1 to 3 barrels of energy, of oil a year for their energy needs. But they want to be like us. They have satellite TV, and they see our lifestyle, and they want to have it. And you can't blame them. That's the American dream. But as he said, if their energy usage gets to the point where they're using 25 barrels of oil a year apiece, this planet is finished. We need new technology and a new way of living. And now that doesn't mean that we need to live in caves. We need to have a comfortable, dry, clean, and cool place to live that will last and will hold up and will be aesthetic to us. And that's why we're here tonight. We're talking about the Angel's Nest concept. And this is a home design that integrates high technology in a very down-to-earth, usable manner, sort of like your PS2 is a lot of technology in the palms of your hands, but it's even an average 8-year-old can use it. That's the way I believe these homes are. Now, one of the great needs that we have in our homes, we don't like to stay huddled around a kerosene heater or an electric baseboard heater. How do the homes store their energy, Robert?
Well, we have so many different ways. Obviously, there's battery systems that are becoming obsolete. We're going to have flywheels. Up here we have batteries, and we have hydrogen storage in the back. With our new buildings, one wonderful about our building design that you'll be seeing, I'm going to send it to you this week, that 1,100 square foot home has 3 zones in it. We designed the house that it actually takes 90 to 95% less air conditioning and 90 to 95% less heating. So with the home design actually eliminates it. For instance, at 20 below zero last winter, our interior bedrooms were about 68 degrees. Our second rooms were about 60. Our first greenhouse was about 40, and outside was 20 below zero. So we designed the homes that during the extreme heat, like Dallas gets triple digits for 50 days a year, or if you're in Alaska, our homes are designed when you have those 60 or 80 extreme days a year, or colder heat, that your interior part of the building stays comfortable with virtually no air conditioning or no heating. You might have to bump it once in a while, but if you leave your house at 10 degrees and you have no heat on, your pipes will freeze and burst. If you leave your house and it's 3 degrees in the winter, your pipes will freeze and burst. When you leave one of our homes, the pipes do not freeze and burst. And if it's 105 or 110 degrees out, you can maintain 70 to 72 degrees in your inner bedrooms by the way we design. So first of all, we do the great thing. We have a well-designed home, and that eliminates most of your energy needs. And then we give you plenty of power to use blow dryers or whatever you want. One thing about our house, if you see it on par.com, it's luxurious. We build homes, and when you walk in, you flip on a switch, you go to the bathroom, you do your thing, and that is it. There's nothing special that'll happen. And then if anything happens to your house, an electrician or a plumber can do the same thing he's doing now. But there's nothing special that you have to do. The main thing, it's more luxurious than the houses you're in now. You're living in your own rainforest. Your quality of life is 1,000% better because it's basically your own health care. We will never see health care. The kids will never see the health care. It's too costly. So if you have a healthy house that gives you beautiful clean air and you have passive solar rooms, you are creating your wellness. And the reason you're sick right now is you're using duct systems that blow air conditioning through the house with these ducts that get fungus in it. The biggest problem in America right now is black fungus in every house. Insurance companies will not assure you against fungus because these homes are so sealed up tightly, they create fungus. So that's why everyone's hacking. They're sick half the time. They're living in sick homes, and they are sick. We make a wellness home that produces oxygen, medicine, and food. So when you deep breathe, you feel like $1 million, like you should be. If you're in Los Angeles, the most polluted city in America, and you're in one of these homes, you never open the windows because you're manufacturing your own atmosphere in your house. If you go outside, you'll be polluted, but as long as you stay in your home, you're creating your own oxygen system, and you are very healthy. And that's one thing nice about this place.
One of the things I notice when I go to your website, and I also look at it on one of the videos, you've got some great videos that are available on your website, is there's kind of a glass bulb there that you have a water vortex in. What is that about?
Well, we have 9 of them in there. What we're going to do is use them as showers and bathtubs. What happens is they spin water in a tornadic thing. It's basically a real pretty thing. And it helps oxygenate. It helps, it sounds like a waterfall. And it's very pleasing. And what happens is when we turn those on, we can shower under them, we can bathe in them. And when our air-to-water machines are on, it takes that moisture out of the atmosphere and produces the cleanest water in the world. So it's part of the system that we're going to put in every house that in your little rainforest during the day, when you turn that thing on, it creates gorillas in the mist, a very thick, moist mist in that space. You shut your inner windows to your living space, and every day you can make your plants be rained on or misted on, and then you go in there and deep breathe that beautiful air, and then you lay in that tub and you lay under that vortex water and you feel like $1 million. It is so exciting. So when you guys come up here, you'll be experiencing that. We have a hanging bed in the rainforest that's 30 feet in the air, and 2 vortexes are spinning next to it, and you hear the waterfalls going, and that's where you guys will be sleeping when you come up here. There'll be nothing like it. You'll never leave the same.
Well, I'm feeling good just sitting here in the studio listening to you talk about it. And this is part of the water recycling system, right? This is
let's put it this way. We don't claim it does anything. It's the pretty part of the system, but the actual system has been approved in Taos. Ken Swingle, that's our contractor and part of World's Nest, has a system that will. In fact, the unit we have in here is beautiful, but this is even an improved system. We're putting in new units that it actually delivers clean water into our rainforest, and now we can do hydroponics, and then those vortex water systems help put water in the air and helps in the transpiration through the leaves, and then we collect that water in our air-to-water machines up to 200 gallons a day, and we replenish our cistern, and we drink with that water, we wash with that water, and that's it's the first closed-loop wastewater system in the world where not one drop of water is wasted. All your wastewater is converted into atmospheric water that's taken out of the air and converted into the purest drinking water in the world. You won't need any city water, which is dirty, or well water. Most of the well water in Texas and across the country is full of MTBEs and all kinds of things. Atmospheric water will be the only way people will be using water. In the next 5 to 10 years, there will be an atmospheric water machine in every house because that's the only way you're going to get clean water.
Well, I know we live next to the Ohio River, and the water is so hard you could drive nails with it.
For sure.
And here in central Kentucky, we have no shortage of humidity. Today it was 96 degrees, and I think the humidity was right up there with it. I had no trouble making water right out of the air on my face, let alone in a water machine. But most of the country has sufficient humidity in the United States, in these latitudes, to pull moisture right out of the air. And I know in Ecuador and Peru and in Argentina, they have large water collection systems down there where they actually collect enough water for a whole community right out of the air.
So and remember what we're doing. And remember what we're doing. We're creating our own rainforest in the house. We're creating our own atmosphere to take that water. So if you're in a desert environment like we are, or you're in Phoenix, your wastewater that you create every day transpires through the leaves. You're making all your drinking water from transpired waste through leaves, and you're not wasting one drop. We harvest the water six times. We use six times less water than any other unit. And there's nothing that goes into septic or sewage. There's nothing that leaves the building. It is all reused over and over again. So you're not putting a terrible impact on the planet.
Sounds like if you could build a community of these things where you don't have that
exactly
water tower up in the sky, and you don't have the unsightly 100,000-volt power lines overhead. I was going to ask you about the feeling of the home. I know I've been in homes where the power has gone out in ice storms or in summertime storms, and I got to tell you, it's strange, but the whole house, even though it's not a very loud home, when the electricity goes out, it feels like the tension of the home drops. Is there a calming effect living in your homes without big AC lines running into your house and all the magnetic fields associated with it? Is there a calming effect?
Well, I think when you come up and visit, and that's why I tell everybody to come up and visit and stay here. In fact, what we're doing, we're letting three of our suites in our room available to the general public so they can actually come visit, meet with our scientists, stay in the place overnight to really get a feeling. For me to say what this building does, I can only tell you that Mr. Charles Schultz and all the other folks that came in here, Joe Holden, they came in here and they said, we're moving in. They moved in 5 minutes after they felt this place. They realized they can never go back to the old way. We as a human race cannot live the way we're living. We live in square boxes. We make curves. Our buildings are in the shape of women. For airflow, for curves, we are not built like squares, and we should not live in squares. And that's why we're sick, and that's why we have all this nonsense going on. All our homes are curves and round and things, so you have good airflow. So all I can say to everyone is very shortly, you will see this coming out in mass the next few years. Everyone will have access to it. All the foreign countries obviously are getting into this. And again, I'm inviting you and your wife to come up here because I'd love for you to do a live show out of here when you're spinning with a vortex and laying in that hanging bed and you telling them how you feel. For me to say it, it's meaningless. But for you to actually feel this building, to do this, and I again thank you again. You're the first. You're launching this worldwide phenomenon now that will take hold. The new movie, Leonardo DiCaprio's movie comes out in the next few weeks called The 11th Hour. They're going to show the problem. We are showing the solution. Our book just came out today called The Secret of Sustainability, of stories from people who live it, invent it, and build it. What you're going to see is people that are actually doing it. And every book that's bought, all that does is go right into energy, new systems, building the sustainable homes. All we do is put every penny we have back into the system. Because when you live in a home like this, you are the king of your castle. You're not living in a house that's making you hack all night. You're living in a house that you never want to leave. When people come here, they don't want to leave. We had a couple that came 5 weeks ago, and we can't get them out of the house. I've been trying to drag them out for 3 or 4 weeks, and they refuse. They hang on to the doorknob, so I don't know what to do. But anyway, it's kind of kidding and kind of not. When you come and stay in a home like this, you never want to leave. And when it's 0 degrees out, you're walking through a rainforest in the middle of a desert. In your house, you're not depressed. You're living with your mangoes and papayas and bananas. It's incredible. I mean, you just got to experience it. I can't tell you about it. You got to feel it.
Now, do you have to be a horticulturist to live in this house, or is it kind of a set it and forget it rainforest, or do you have to go in and garden every day? And
well, there's if you're a green thumber and you want to get complicated, you can. What I do personally, I would just put a stack of banana trees in that are low maintenance. As long as you shower and go to the bathroom, your plants are watered. If you want to be real low maintenance, you put about 20 or 30 or 40 banana trees in there, giant vacuum suckers of filthy air, very easy to maintain as long as you do your duty every day. you're fine. If you want to grow herbs and gardens and all that thing, if you have an extra green thumb, then you can start doing major food manufacturing in your house. And so I'm the lazy kind. I would put 40 banana trees in there and a few polonia trees and produce a lot of oxygen and some bananas and not even worry about really maintaining them. It's very minimal. So it depends what you want to do. And you got herbs, you got tomatoes and vegetables, you got tropical plants. We're going to have 5 or 6 formulas, one for the lazy one that doesn't want to do it like me, that just wants to, you know, the plants to do their thing, and others who want to actually grow most of their food, and you can actually do it in these homes.
Maybe I should connect you with my friend Leonid Sharashkin. He translated the Anastasia books into English. Just an immaculate Russian who speaks very good English, and he's now working on his PhD in forestry, but he reports that the entire country of Russia, 53% of all the fresh produce produced in that country comes from home gardens. And it sounds to me like this kind of home would be absolutely perfect for that kind of lifestyle. Somebody that, you know, normally has to drive 18 to 20 miles to get to their garden from where they live in a city, they could now have their garden right in their house.
Well, think about it. World War II, 90% of Americans had victory gardens. We plant a victory garden in every house. The world is chopping down the rainforest. We build a rainforest one house at a time and a victory garden. So we are replenishing the planet. You can't do anything about the outside, but as long as you have your private oxygen-producing rainforest, it don't matter because you created your own biosphere. You are not held hostage by the tremendous raping of our world's rainforests. We're planting one house at a time, and that's what's exciting, and producing the purest water in the world.
Outstanding. So how big is the housing mission for the planet going to get?
Well, the exciting thing is that we're going to launch thousands and millions of contractors over the next few years. And the manufacturing in the United States and overseas is very well adapted to take these materials and manufacture them. It will be unlimited because we're going to create a situation for a contractor to make 2 to 3 times more money by building our house than building a regular home. And believe me, they hate concrete, steel, and wood. 55% is going to China. A lot of the contractors have to wait 6-7 weeks for concrete. It's tripled in price. Steel is tripled. Wood is tripled. Believe me, they don't know what to do. So now we give them one of our buildings. We'll teach them how to build these 7 to 14 day homes. And they can build a home, one home every 1 or 2 weeks instead of one home every 6 months, make 3 times more profit, and deliver a home that actually saves the planet and has zero near impact on the planet. Every contractor that has come in here and said, my God, please get this to us because we hate what we're doing. We're building homes that are pre-zoned in all the zoning codes basically to destroy the planet. And now the zoning places in the different cities across the country can't meet federal mandates for clean water and all these other things, and they're begging for something that's up quick and easy and has a very low impact. One of the problems you have up in New Mexico and other places, they're out of water. So when you want to build a development, they said, well, how are you going to get the water? We do not have the water. We manufacture our own water. We can build a 1,000-home community because each home manufactures its own water. We are not taking any water out of the water table. And we use 600 times less water than any world. This is a solution and an answer to all the extra millions and billions of people that are becoming onto our planet. We have no choice but to do this, and it's so inexpensive to do it. In 5 years, everybody will say, why did we ever build homes the way we did the last 100 years? What we're doing is changing the paradigm, and we're getting the zoning laws changed that the zoning boards will mandate you to have near zero impact on the planet. This is an exciting time. They're ready for it, and everyone's getting on it. And I want to tell you something. I was on one of the radio shows that you were on many times, and the people want this. And when you get on our website and see what we have, we can deliver you a lot of those products right now. And within a year or two, a lot of your listeners will be the contractors that will be actually building these homes in New York and in Philadelphia and Georgia. They will have these franchises, and they will be part of the next 50,000 millionaires that will be driving the new paradigm of sustainable energy, housing, and water, which is a multi-trillion-dollar market worldwide, and it is happening as we speak. Europe is 22% green. America is only 0.5% green. We have unlimited potential in this country to go into this paradigm, and believe me, everyone's jumping on the bandwagon right now, and you can all join us, and we'll let you start building these worldwide. Another year or two, we'll have the training facilities, and you guys put them up. We can't. We need every local builder and every local community to deliver the goods, and that's what the folks that are listening to you right now will be part of. They will be able to retrofit their home. They will be able to build these homes. They will have hope for the first time in their life. They will not be held hostage by government bureaucracies or other countries that are hacking down all the rainforest. You are the king and queen of your castle for the first time in your life, and nobody's holding a gun to your head. It is an exciting time to live.
Absolutely sounds fascinating. And the construction systems, I've seen prefabricated houses before. They go up pretty fast, and by and large, they look pretty good. Now, when I've been down in Mexico, I've noticed, especially along the areas which we would consider state highways, not the freeways, but the state highways down there, you will see thousands upon thousands of concrete apartments. These are whole complexes that are just poured concrete. They stick windows and doors in them, and that's what people live in. And they, you know, they look a little bit colloquial. That is to say,
They're pretty terrible.
You know, just white concrete. And when you go to Tibet, they are making concrete blocks in just about every street corner. I know next to the hotel where we stayed in Lhasa, the cement mixer was going before dawn, and it was running till after dark, hand shoveling sand and mortar into these molds, hand making blocks to be delivered around the country to make houses out of. And these houses have no insulation, and believe me,
they're terrible.
At 11,000 feet, there's just not much heat in this area. It's a pretty cold country, and it's a lot of back-breaking labor to make a house. And this just sounds like a solution to so many countries that I'm beside myself with excitement that somebody finally has consolidated all of this technology into one living system.
Well, the exciting part is we got a solar ozonator that Sir Charles developed. The solar panel will be the size of your computer screen. It will be something that goes into every cistern. If you go to Mexico, you see the cisterns on top of these buildings. They're filthy. They're fungus-ridden. That's why everybody in the world is so sick, because they're drinking tainted water. With this little solar panel with a solar ozonator goes into your gray water system or to your system, and as the sun comes up every day, it purifies your water. We are building very inexpensive, very low-cost things to retrofit these countries that have horrific water problems, and that's one of the things we're doing worldwide. And we're going to be at the Global Eco Show, at the largest retail show in the world in Las Vegas. All the major buyers in the world will be there: Walmart, Home Depot, Target, all the Chinese buyers, and they want to put green sections in every building. They want 200-300 square foot green spaces in every store, so we can start selling solar ozonators and these vortex water machines and all these systems that you can plug into the house and actually do something to purify, clean, and enhance. All the major retailers in the world are getting it, and now we're going to start delivering products when you go into a store that you actually can take home and start helping yourself.
Now, when is that show in Las Vegas?
That's the 26th through the 29th in Las Vegas. It's the Magic Show, the largest retail show in the world. And at the Venetian is the second global green show. And every major player, every buyer in the world is coming there. We're going to have a whole team of green people there to show them these products that they can do that. Home Depot is already doing a great job. They have over 2,000 energy products. I went there last month and they were selling swamp coolers instead of refrigerator. These swamp coolers were going at three amps, and the air conditioners were 50 amps, and people were buying these. So the retailers are finally getting it, and we're about to deliver them tremendous amount of products so people can go to the stores the next couple of years and buy things that they can retrofit their house with that will start lowering their energy bills and cleaning their water and doing all these wonderful things. So we're extraordinary. Excited. One of our partners is Steve Huntsman. He's like the Tony Robbins of China. His 41,000 salespeople, the ex-Communist Party leaders, are now salespeople putting clean products, and they're selling them in 1,200 stores. They're going from door to door. They're going to put our solar ozonators in there and all the things that help clean and help the Chinese people. So it is taking off worldwide. They realize that they can't keep on going the same way they're going. And we are delivering thousands of new products in the next few years with all these scientists here, and it's a very exciting change of event. And your listeners, you are the folks that are changing it by hearing it, getting on the website, implementing these things. One of the problems we had last year when we were on the radio, we got 4 or 5 million hits and we had nothing and people were angry. We need water kits. We need solar ozonators. We need all that. Finally, when you get on our website for the first time, you'll be able to buy some things that will help you buy the book that has problems, and we'll have the homes out shortly. You can now go and borrow money for green products for the first time. So when you get on our website, finally we have something. And of course, I want to thank you again for you being the launching pad of this tremendous media that's going to take place the next few years of telling people it's now, it's real, it's not fantasy. You can actually do it. You can actually become a contractor, part of World's Nest. You can get the licensing. You can invest in your future, and you can be part of the multi-trillion-dollar worldwide market, the new paradigm of sustainable products and green products. The real deal is happening now, and I just want to thank you again for allowing me on the radio tonight to say the hope is more than hope. It's now. We're launching now.
Well, that is awesome.
And we hope that you're part of it, and we would love for you to, again, to come up here the next couple weeks and hang out and do a live show from up here, and you tell them how it feels to be in here. I won't say a peep. You tell them what you're experiencing in the building, and you got to see it to believe it. You stay with the scientists that are actually here every day inventing new systems, the 70 and 80 and 80-year-old scientists that decided they're turning over all their patents and all their technologies, and they're cooperating and delivering it for the children of the world instead of dying with it where nobody will ever see it. This is what's happening now. It's a family. It's a new paradigm shift. And again, you're launching it tonight, and I want to thank you very much.
Well, the gratitude is mine. I'm just now in a new time slot with the BBS Radio Network. I've been with them now. I'm in my third year. And, yeah, we've built a global audience, and we have a huge audience in the U.K. and in Australia. We ship a lot of product there and even in Canada. But I'm not really sure my audience knows I'm here tonight because normally the phones are ringing, but it gives us more time to talk, and I will put this in the free listening area so the tens of thousands of people that come every day to X Squared Radio will be able to listen to this program for free and know that help is on the way with respect to green living. I'm really excited about the solar energy, and I know what an ozonator does for water. For those of you that don't know, oxygen kills gram-positive bacteria, which grows into water and makes you sick. And that's why when you go to some third world countries, they tell you, don't drink the water. That's why. And a solar ozonator would purify the water so clean that you could open your eyes underwater and swim in it, and it wouldn't hurt you at all. You don't have to put any chemicals in the water whatsoever to keep it pure. And that is the one thing that causes more war than anything else, is access to a clean glass of drinking water. So we are talking about world peace here. We're not talking about housing. People charge across the frozen tundra at one another with battle axes in hand, because they want someplace to live, and they want freedom, and freedom from all kinds of things, including what we believe is the tyranny of the energy cartel that rules us by the access to energy and access to capital. And this, in a very short amount of time, would free communities to grow unfettered without gathering in groups of 50,000 at a time in cities with all their pollution and noise and sprawl. They could live in small communities of 300 or 400 people without impacting the environment whatsoever. And that is the way this planet, I believe, was meant to be utilized. And Robert Plahr is leading the way. And I'm telling you, this isn't a Johnny-come-lately to this business. He's been in it for over 3 decades. Do the research. Look him up. Go to his website. You'll see him standing with shovel in hand with work boots on. He developed this integration, believes in it, and his zeal and his excitement, enthusiasm, and commitment to it is so powerful that when you meet him in person, you just cannot resist. You want to say, okay, give me a shovel. I'm here to help. I want to get started. And right now, you know, we're thinking about we need more model homes. We need some model homes out here in the East where people can see them and walk in them and write a check and get started building their own green house that will sustain
exactly. In the next 6 months to a year, we're going to have these samples all over the country. The first sample will be here in Taos. Obviously, we have this one, but the first pod will go in Taos here very shortly. And in 2008, we plan to launch many of these pods around the country for samples, and then we're going into full manufacturing, and plus all the other products, all the retrofitting kind of things. Like you said, the solar ozonator alone in China, 100 million Chinese at their house would have this little solar ozonator would purify their water. It eliminates 90% of all the disease in the world. Is you eliminate dirty water, you don't need hospitals and doctors and all that. Just give them massive clean water and you've eliminated the problem. And that's what we're doing. We're going to eliminate those problems by providing clean water. And that's the best thing you can do. Give them shelter, clean water and food. You eliminate wars. You eliminate this need to be on the oil feed. And that's what it's all about. And
When you go to China right now, you walk down the street and you'll see that they're building supply is sort of decentralized. They don't have Home Depots or Lowe's there. It's small outlets, small hardware outlets in these little towns. But you could walk in and you could buy a solar water heater that mounts on your roof. It's got these glass tubes with a black dope on the inside, and it gathers the solar energy and heats the water. They also use the solar ovens outside. They have little parabolic mirrors that heat up the water for their tea and prepare their sampa so that they can eat it. And the one thing that's missing is clean water, because they use human waste as their fertilizer in their fields, and they don't wash their hands all the time, and so sometimes that ends up on the outside of the fruits and vegetables. But they don't have clean water to wash these things in, so you have to be careful what you eat when you go to these countries, because we're not built to handle those kinds of parasites and those kinds of chemicals in our Western bodies. But if you give this technology to these kinds of countries, you eliminate mortality and sickness and death beyond imagination, and that makes people's lives better. It just makes them more humane. In this country, it means going from straight consumers, cutting down whole forests full of trees and fabricating all kinds of chemicals that we put into our homes, and refitting a lot of that energy to renewable sources. And, you know, when I look at this house on the web, go to plahr.com at plahr.com, you're going to see something that you might think is absolutely unattainable, but it's very attainable.
And remember, this is our working prototype, our R&D place. We test all these systems there, and because of the first one in 75 and this one, we were about to deliver these pods worldwide because we did all the research. We proved the systems work. Now we mass manufacture it to make it very inexpensive so the masses is able to afford it. And because of the high fuel prices, $3, $4, $5, and in Europe $6 or $7, these places are becoming extraordinarily affordable. And with the new solar technology that's coming out here within the next year through Michael Fulton and Dr. Palin and the World's Nest team, we're going to change the paradigm the world is existing on now. We're going to make it so cheap to have solar panels that every person in a country will be able to afford solar panels. And that's what's coming on, and we are so delighted. And not just a few wealthy people that have solar panels on the roof because they're so expensive, but affordable to the masses. And that's what's taking place as we talk right now behind the scenes in all these laboratories and all our sustainable buildings up here. These guys are working 24/7. Our guys get up at 3 in the morning, are drawing, drafting, building. They are on a war mission. We do not sleep. 24/7, we work because we are at war to save this planet, and there is no time off for us.
That's amazing. And we're here at 10 minutes after 11 Eastern time. Our new late-night time slot, this is a three-hour program, so if you're listening in this hour and you didn't get the first 2 hours, make sure to send your affiliates' call numbers to us, and we'll take care of the rest, because we have 3 hours of the highest quality talk radio in the world every Sunday night right here at X Squared Radio. And tonight, our guest is Robert Plahr and his company, his concept, The Angel's Nest. And you can find it at Plahr.com. It is not unattainable, let me tell you, folks. For those of you that think you could just keep going the way that you're going, you're fooling yourselves, because right now we're hovering around $70 a barrel for oil. We're going to dream of these days before too long. Oil will be over $100 a barrel. And if you think we're going to war over oil now, just wait. Well, what do you say? We take oil out of the picture. We start building homes that rely on renewable energy. It doesn't mean we have to change anything. We can still watch TV. We can still play your Xbox. You can still flush an indoor toilet. You can still use a blow dryer. You can still take a shower every day. You don't have to change anything of your lifestyle. Just change the way you build houses, and we can save the world. And that's a pretty big mission. It can be done. It has to be done. And that's what we're
and it's exciting.
About.
It's exciting that that movie 11th Hour is coming out with Leonardo DiCaprio, again showing the problem. Al Gore last year showed a problem, and now we can show a solution. One of the problems is if you show problems without solutions, you create hopelessness. Now we're showing a problem and a solution where people know that they can have a fix. I had a bunch of little girls here, and they're 7, 8-year-old girls. A lot of people from around the world stay here, stay overnight. A lot of world leaders stay here to see the concept. And the little girl looked at me and said, Mr. Plahr, there's mercury poisoning. The rainforests are being chopped down. The oceans are getting dirty. She says, I haven't slept in 2 years because of this worry. And I looked at her, and she's 8 years old, and I'm going, my God, when I was a kid, I didn't even have a thought in the world about those kinds of things. And then she looked at me, and she says, you know, I have hope now. I will sleep tonight because I will have one of these. This is the future, and now I have hope. Most of the kids in the United States are hopeless. A lot of them are going on drugs, and a lot of them are taking their credit cards to the max because when they see television, they see the wars, the oil, the oceans dying, all the news is bad, and they don't think there's going to be a future. They don't believe they'll see Social Security. They don't believe they'll see health care. And they probably won't because it'll be bankrupt by that. But when they know they can have a home, that is Homeland Security, Social Security, and health care, they won't need all that stuff because the reality is two or three of those can't support 76 million baby boomers about to go in retirement. It's just not going to happen. And the government has closed eyes to all this. So So the only thing you can do as an individual is build your own sustainable home, create your own homeland security, social security, and health care, and not worry about what the government is or not going to do for you. A lot of my friends from Allentown, Pennsylvania, worked at Bethlehem Steel and United Airlines and all that. They all lost their pensions. Guys in their 60s, they call me. They said, Robert, I just lost my pension. So the young people see guys working 30, 40 years, and guess what? They lose their pensions. So we have to build these homes. We have to be in these homes because they're the only security that we're going to have in the future. And that's why I'm excited about them, because they take care of a lot of problems. And the young people, this is their only shot right here. And they can afford a home like this, and they can finally sleep with both eyes closed because they're not going to worry how they're going to pay. Even if you have the Walmart economy or people working at McDonald's, and we have this new home that will fit the low-income housing price range, they will be able to afford these houses because they won't have all these utility bills and water bills and all the things you have with everywhere else. These will be affordable homes to the masses in the United States, even without those union jobs we lost at Bethlehem Steel. And that's what I'm excited about, to take the people that are working two or three jobs, get them in affordable housing, eliminating half to three-quarters of their monthly bills. And that's what we are going to do, and we're committed to it. And it's not brain science. This isn't like flying to the moon. We have all the materials on this earth. All these inventions have been invented the last 70 to 80 years, and we're going to implement it. There's a movie coming out in spring, and the undeniable with Chris Patton, that's going to give some of these technologies away free to the world. And we are going to solve this problem, and we have a team that's going to do it. We just need all you folks listening to get these franchises, to build these homes for your local communities, to deliver this to Africa, to deliver it to South America. We have the stuff. You've got the gusto, and that's what we're doing here. We're introducing it to you so you can be part of the solution and part of the next 50,000 millionaires, the new sustainable economy that's about to take place in the United States. Remember, only 0.5% of America is green. We have unlimited capacity for growth in the sustainable area, and Europe is 22% green, too.
You know that right now, inside the United States, there's over 150 million square feet of empty factory space, jobs, that have been lost because they're not efficient anymore. They can't compete anymore. These jobs went to India. They went to China, and they should have, because they were inefficient, and they couldn't produce a quality product for what people were willing to pay for it. Well, I propose that we take some or maybe all of that 150 million square feet of empty factory space, and we provide jobs for people making these prefabricated components that go into these homes.
Absolutely. And that is the plan, to have a plant in every district of the country using their regional waste stream materials, finding out what they have available, what their biggest waste stream is in that region, district, county or state, and they can manufacture these items and actually put them up themselves, and that's a whole new economy.
So now you're planning on the technology that's required for these factories to spring up and provide jobs and start cranking out this technology. You're planning to license this technology to those manufacturing facilities so that they can do this profitably and still keep the price affordable and be able to actually make the product that people are going to be demanding.
Absolutely. We can make them. We can teach. We can provide. There's already manufacturers out there that have plenty of employees who would like to hire more people. They need more products. We provide them with those products. They'll manufacture them. They deliver them to our licensed contractors, and then they put them up. It's a full circle. We're creating the product in the U.S. We're making it in the U.S. We deliver it in the U.S., and our U.S. customers are putting it away. When we're in China or Gabon, Africa, they have the economy. They're producing it. They're delivering it. They're getting their groceries to market. You know, in Russia, you know how much food around the world spoils on the land because their roads are inadequate? They're washed out half the year in a lot of these foreign countries. With our new natural roads, we can get them to deliver their products to market, and then they can make money to build these homes. That's the problem. A lot of the food in the world rots in the fields because there is no infrastructure like the U.S. with refrigerated trucks and interstate systems. They have none of that. With these enzyme, with these natural roads, we can build dirt roads that we can deliver these products and create an economy for the local people. So we're not taking away from anybody. Wherever you are in the U.S., China, or Africa, we're creating a local economy so people can become self-sufficient once again.
That's what it's all about. That's the dream. I'm trying to get my hands around the infrastructure. You know, I'm from the manufacturing industry. That's my background. So I'm thinking, you know, how to get raw materials into finished materials, production prototypes into production models, get them into boxes, figure out the packaging of the dunnage, and deliver it to the consumer level or to the contractor level, because it doesn't do any good to have 10,000 trained contractors if you can't deliver the construction materials to them.
Well, for instance, right now, contractors have materials to build roads. What we do is eliminate the part that costs a couple hundred thousand a mile to build. We eliminate all that aggregate through hundreds of trucks delivering stone and aggregate. We eliminate that process. They use the same equipment they have now. They blend this material into the dirt. They create a road that goes up 3 to 4 times faster than a regular road and eliminates 90% of the, anywhere from 65 to 90% of maintenance. That is now, it takes no special training. They have the equipment, and that's what we're doing now. We're training people worldwide to do that. And of course, anywhere in the world, you need the infrastructure first. You need the road, sewage, and water. And then obviously we tell them we'll have homes available in 14 to 16 months because you never put the cart before the horse. You get the infrastructure in and then you deliver the homes when they're ready and commerce is ready, roads, water, and sewage is ready. And that's what we're doing right now.
Well, in our final 4 minutes, I just want to say, I appreciate you coming on the program, giving us all this information. It's so much to digest. It goes beyond my mind. I'm trying to figure out, you know, how we get all this together. How do we get the infrastructure together? How do we get the people notified so that demand is created, so that all of this can be put into place? It's so much that it sounds to me
it's a lot simpler than you think, because all the contractors already have all the equipment in place. What we'll do in the next few weeks, if you have another show with us, we'll put you on with Charles Schultz and Ken Swingle, the people that are actually building and bending it, the contractors that are actually have a lot of this stuff approved through the county governments already. It's approved to go in. We're actually using this stuff now. It's already operating in different cities across the country. So they will, you know, if you get them on the show, they will tell you where, how, and what to do, because they are contractors and builders and manufacturers. So you will get those answers more stringently than I am. I'm just the sort of the can-do choo-choo, and they're the guys that are actually doing the hard work by implementing it right now. And we have all these fellas, and normally I'd have another one of those guys on with me, but next time we get on, they'll be on with you, and you'll get your quick, straight answers. But we are actually driving on those roads. We actually have those water treatment systems in the ground. You see the working prototype on the website, and then shortly we'll have the homes that the masses can afford, and that's our main goal. So if you look on our website, plarr.com, you'll see all this stuff. And like you said, it's hard to believe. You actually have to see it. And again, we invite any listener to come up and stay in our suite and meet the scientists and actually stay in the building, because that'll tell you the truth. For me to say it's one thing, for you to be in the building is a whole nother.
So you home developers, golf course developers out there that are listening, make your way to Albuquerque, get yourself to the Angel's Nest, and catch this fever, because you know, you're making 3%, 4%, 5% on some of these developments, and you're waiting 8 to 10 years for your payback, you won't have to do that anymore. It sounds to me like, I mean, if you look at Toyota's profits right now, Toyota had an absolute record year. And in the automotive industry, for a big boy, that's really hard to come by these days, especially when your average car costs about $30,000. You know what's driving it? The hybrid. You know why? Because the public demand for green technology is really showing its muscle in the car business, and it's going to show it in the housing business, too. So you big multi-million-dollar developers that are building these $100, $200 million developments, make your way to the angel's nest and become part of the future. That's all I can say.
Well, thank you very much for having us on. And, again, the invitation's for you to stop by. And in the future radio shows, you can have our experts that are actually in the dirt up here making it happen. And thank you very much for being the first to launch the green media campaign worldwide.
Well, that's what we do right here is we break new ground every day here on X Squared Radio. So we'll leave this in the free area for all of our listeners to get to. We will not put it in the archived area, so we'll have free access. You can send all your people here, feel free to make a link to X Squared Radio, take them right to it, and they'll hear the story as you were asked the questions from me. And I tried to ask everything to bring, help you tell your full story and get your technology out there as much as you can, because it's really hard to find people that are actually out there doing it, and you've done it. You're not just dreaming about it, you're living in it, and that's what we need here in this country. It is the American dream. Robert, I appreciate you coming on the program, and I look forward to seeing you again really soon. It won't be in the next couple of weeks, but we'll make our way out there to New Mexico. And
thank you very much, sir. Look forward to seeing you again.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, Earth Explorers, that is it for X Squared Radio, first time on the late night schedule. Hope you stay with us. Tell a friend about us, because right here we talk about the mysteries of the Earth and the universe, and we want you to remember that you are Source. Everything you do can and will affect the universe. So do it on purpose, and before too long, you will have saved the planet. Good night from X Squared Radio.